always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carr. Many major companies' earnings reports are coming in. News has been good. The stock market hit a new high around lunchtime. CBS's Alexis Christophorus.
Positive news about inflation and the housing market helped push the Dow Jones Industrial Average past the 12,000 mark for the first time in its 110 years. But by the closing bell, the Dow rose more than 42 points to close at a record 11,992, just shy of that milestone.
The Nasdaq lost nearly 8 points. Oil prices $57.65 a barrel, down $1.28. Among the companies with big earnings reports,
Apple has been on a roll for the past several months. Both the Macintosh and its wildly popular iPod have done extremely well. So this is a company that's making a lot of profit, and its future is looking very bright.
And CBS's Larry Magid says Apple came in up 27%. The latest on the dying and death in Iraq, 11 Americans dead in the last day, 70 this month, scores of Iraqi civilians dead in sectarian fighting. The Pentagon says some Marines will be rotated back to Iraq earlier than planned. For most, it'll be a second tour. A research company has declared Massachusetts the smartest state in the nation, followed by...
It was Vermont, followed by Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey slipped in there, but then there was Maine in fifth.
Scott Morgan at Morgan Quintino Press says Arizona was dead last, all of it based largely on the money spent on education, teacher salaries, and class sizes. Arizona school superintendent Tom Horn says Arizona kids actually score well above the national average on both SATs or Terra Nova exams, far from last place. He says they just do more with less money out there in Arizona. If you've heard or seen stories about a web alert that claims jihadist terror threat of a dirty bomb or bombs at NFL football stadiums around the country this weekend, Homeland Security says forget about it. Don't worry. It is not credible. The Postal Service is making some changes. Stamp vending machines are going away, and there's more.
Hey, when's the last time you dropped a letter into one of those blue boxes on the corner? Remember them?
Customers are using the blue collection boxes less and less, partly because of the decline of first-class mail.
So Postal Service spokeswoman Yvonne Yeager says many of those blue boxes are gradually being eliminated.
Anytime we can do things more efficiently and cost-effectively, it helps us keep rates down.
And it's just another sign that most people these days are relying more and more on email. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
In Attleboro, Massachusetts, Willard Elementary is telling the kids no more playing tag at recess. No unsupervised touch football or soccer either. All that running and chasing at play, you might fall down.
There is only a blacktop up there. They don't have the grass to run on.
That's one parent. Here's another says it's nonsense.
I think they should be allowed to. I mean, I used to run and chase and play kickball and dodgeball and all that.
Several schools in the area banned dodgeball years ago. This is CBS News.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
Where do you want to be?
Everybody has a different idea of the perfect home.
Now that the kids are grown, we want a smaller place.
We really need more room. There's a baby on the way.
I'll take a place with a garage for my new baby.
Find your perfect place. It's easy at REMAX.com. Now REMAX.com has more home listings to choose from than ever. Nobody sells more real estate than REMAX. Each office independently owned and operated.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
The National Christmas Tree has a long, long drive to the Capitol this year. CBS's Stephen Kaufman.
65 feet tall and weighing about 5 tons, the Olympic National Forest Pacific Silver Fir will be displayed on the Capitol's West Lawn. It'll be decked out with 10,000 lights and 3,000 ornaments. Tree Project Coordinator Anna Brown.
Every state that sends the tree has the school children in that state hand make the ornaments for the tree.
A bladder will be placed at the base of the tree to keep it fresh during the journey east by truck. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Spokane.
The United States flu vaccine supply this year will be by far the most ever. The CDC says, however, distribution is the biggest problem, meaning some doctors or clinics may have some delays getting what they want. There is plenty of time to get your shot, they remind us. Flu season peaks in February. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Somewhere between what a person is saying and what they're not saying, between what a person wants and what they need, lies understanding. For every client, everywhere, UBS has the distinct ability to listen. But more importantly, the commitment to understand. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Peter B. Collins!
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the left coast. And today, we're live from the Del Arte Performing Arts School in Blue Lake, California. And I'm the guy who hates it when you say thank you for taking my call, so allow me to say thank you for heeding the call and coming out here today. And I want to thank all the folks who have made this possible. KGOE 1480 was the first affiliate of the syndicated Peter B. Collins Show, and I am grateful to Tom Seaborn and Mike Wilson and Ken Dennis and the fine folks at Bicoastal Media who believed in us and put us on the air just about a year ago. And now we've grown, and we have listeners in Coos Bay, Oregon. We have listeners in Phoenix, Arizona, and in Sacramento, and at our flagship station, KRXA 540 in Monterey. And those of you who couldn't be here today, I hope you'll enjoy the broadcast. A little different. We still will be taking your calls as usual, and you know the toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We got a wireless laptop here, so you can drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. We'll try to catch up on your emails during the breaks. And we have invited our live audience here to participate in the broadcast. We have a people's microphone here, so when they get the urge, they can stand up and ask a question. And we have given them permission to use their cell phones. If it's just too much trouble to get out of your chair and come down, you can call in at 888-5-PETER-B just like everybody else. Today's program is produced in conjunction with the Voter Confidence Committee here in Humboldt County. And Dave Berman is here at the table with me. Dave, we've spoken many times over the phone. I appreciate your contributions to the program. And more than that, I appreciate your work as an activist.
Thank you, Peter.
And let me give you a quick rundown on what we're going to do today. This program is focused on elections and election integrity. 3 weeks from yesterday is a crucial midterm election, and it's not hyperbole to say that this is critical to our nation's future. We have been hosed, we have been shafted, we have been screwed, we have had elections gamed, hacked, and stolen, and we are ill-prepared for this contest coming up in 3 weeks. We have polling that shows that Democrats should take back control of the House and probably the Senate. And yet, we don't know if we can trust the process of the elections coming up in 3 short weeks. Now on today's program, we're going to talk to Barbara Burt from Common Cause, our man Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Give it up for Brad. If there is one person in this country who has been fighting an often lonely fight for integrity in our elections, it is Brad. And he is a signal contributor to our program, and I'm delighted he'll be with us probably twice today. Also, Paul Leto is an elections attorney from Washington State who was drafted to come into the fray in District 50 in San Diego earlier this year. He and Brad are going to be on together, and they have some slight differences about the emergency paper ballot issue. You may know that the Republican-appointed Secretary of State here in California, Bruce McPherson, has relented and issued an order that emergency paper ballots be available at every precinct in the state. That wouldn't have happened if Brad had not pushed for it. And Paul Leto has some legal concerns. We'll talk about those when he joins us. Also on today's program, Bev Harris from Black Box Voting. We're going to talk to Shauna Wilson-Mora, who is the chair of the Palo Alto Human Rights Commission in the Bay Area. And we're going to talk about some efforts they have made to enhance election integrity, somewhat in collusion with Dave Berman, an activist here in Humboldt County. Secretary of State candidate Deborah Bowen will be on with us later today. And we're going to check in at the epicenter of stolen elections, Columbus, Ohio, Bob Fitrakis, who is the Green Party candidate for governor of Ohio. And he and his partner, Harvey Wasserman, have led the charge to investigate the 2004 election. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has joined in on that, and many people have great reasons to believe that that election was fixed in 2004. And toward the end of the program, Brad Friedman will return, and we're going to talk about the Republican who has come forward in the last couple of days saying that, hey, this election process is wide open and could be stolen. So there's lots to talk about here. For our listeners on the radio, you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can email me at peter@peterbcollins.com. And I'm just looking over to my computer screen here. It does appear that our first guest is ready. Barbara Burt joins us from Common Cause USA. Hello again, Barbara.
Hi, how are you, Peter?
We're fine, and say hello to our live audience here in Blue Lake, California.
Hi, everybody. You know, Peter, as you were listing off all the people who are going to be on this show, I was just amazed. What a stellar group. I'm honored to be amongst their midst.
Well, Common Cause USA has been on the front lines, and I credit your boss, Shelley Pingree, who should be a member of the United States Senate right now if we had fair elections and a good political process in this country. But she's done a great job at Common Cause in really bringing these issues forward and in a nonpartisan manner. That's one of the beauties of the work that you do.
Well, that's really critical, and you know, when it comes to elections, although I know that there is a definite partisan feeling in your studio right now, I could sort of sense that. But if we're really going to move to permanent reform that everybody embraces, we're going to have to figure out a way to talk about it as an entire nation, red and white together. I mean, red and blue together. So, you know, that's a really tough hurdle that we somehow are going to have to cross. But being Common Cause, a nonpartisan organization, we are able to talk to some people that folks on the left and the right can't get to. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
We like to use that.
Now, Barbara, I want to start off with the Clean Money Initiative, Proposition 89, that is on the ballot here in California, because it is based on a concept that I fully support, and the legislation that was authored in the Assembly by Assemblywoman Lonnie Hancock of Berkeley was something that, again, I had 100% support for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I have learned, and the San Francisco Chronicle wrote a critical editorial and declined to endorse Proposition 89 because of the way it handles the initiative process. And in particular, according to the Chronicle, the California Nurses Association, which is promoting the initiative, would enjoy some advantages. They would be able to pump unlimited sums into ballot campaigns, but corporations would be limited to $10,000 per initiative. And so this seems to be a fly in the ointment. Tell me your reading of this and how it compares with clean money measures in other parts of the country.
Well, that's actually a bit of a side issue from our perspective. And I will say that Common Cause supports Prop 89. We were not involved in the writing of the bill. And, you know, as with most legislation, it's not perfect, but we think that it does a lot more good than harm. But normally, in the states that currently have a clean money or clean election system, such as Maine, where I am today talking to you guys, there isn't the initiative process doesn't how that's funded isn't part of what we call the clean election system. That comes under a different set of rules. Clean elections really only is applied to the process by which candidates for the state legislature or for governor receive public funding.
I agree. And the candidate portion of the bill works for me.
Yes, we're happy with that, too.
There were a couple of compromises that were made that disadvantaged third-party candidates, but I'm willing to accept that as part of the process.
And you know, that is an issue, and I think we need to keep working on that because in no way do we want to discourage the growth of third parties. You know, I think it would make a much more vibrant political atmosphere if we had more voices out there that could actually bring candidates to the table and get them elected. So that, you know, that is a piece that we all need to sort of figure out how to fashion so that it doesn't disadvantage anyone.
Understood, yeah. And we were just talking about this yesterday. For me, one-party rule by either party is problematic. And I would love to see the Green Party or some other stalwart third party come forward and grab some seats in state legislatures and in the House of Representatives, because it could be an important check on the excesses of either of the two major parties.
Yes.
Barbara, we're going to take a quick break. So please stay with us. And if you would like to call the program, you can join us at 888-5-PETER-B. If you're within the sound of my voice here in the greater Eureka area, we do have some seats available at the Del Arte Performing Arts School. So come on over to Blue Lake, and we will welcome you here this afternoon. We are live on the air until 6 o'clock Pacific time, and we'd love to see you out here. 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number. Call us if you'd like. You're listening to a live broadcast of the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
We continue our live broadcast from Blue Lake, California. All these great listeners from KGOE 1480, thank you. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins, and we have a live audience here, some live participants, and we mentioned Dave Berman a couple of minutes ago. He's with the Voter Confidence Committee here in Humboldt County. And thank you for pulling this event together and inviting me. I'm really delighted to be here. And tell us a little bit about what's going on after our broadcast tonight, Dave.
Right. So the show goes from 3 until 6, and then there's going to be a little break. And at 6:30, we're going to have a media roundtable discussion. So this audience and anybody who's listening and can come down here later, welcome to join us. It's still going to be free to get in. Bob Doran from the North Coast Journal will be joining us. He's here, isn't he?
Jimmy Derschlag?
He's going to be on our panel. You can clap for Jimmy if you want. And I will learn how to say his name. And Tom Seaborn and you and I will take questions from the audience and discuss essentially accountability of the media. How is the media doing its job? How does the public at large have an opportunity or an ability to feedback to the media on the job that they're doing? How does the media have an ability to respond to that feedback and form a closed loop?
And why do the media corporate executives think that they're only accountable to their shareholders and board of directors?
We'll get to the bottom of it.
So that's coming up later, and you are invited to come over if you're in the area and you just got off work and or for whatever other reason you picked up the kids at school and you'd like to come over. We are at the Del Arte Auditorium here in Blue Lake. We continue now with Barbara Burt from Common Cause. As she mentioned, she is in Maine today. Are there election integrity issues surfacing in Maine, Barbara Burt? And I don't hear you. I think, Matt, I think we're going to have to switch back to the other phone switcher. So while Matt does that, we'll keep it here in Blue Lake. Dave, talk a little bit about the way that you folks fashioned a ballot measure to limit corporate involvement in elections, initiatives, and a recall campaign of a district attorney.
Well, Okay, that's a few different things. I was not really central to any of that, but I think you're asking about Measure T.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably people in this room who could speak more to Measure T than I could. So perhaps somebody in the audience would like to address Measure T. I see Pat Higgins out here.
Come on up, please.
This was something that was adopted in June during the primary election.
Measure T just allowed corporations, out of area corporations that weren't based in Humboldt County, from spending money on any ballot initiative that was offered.
I drove through the company town called Scotia on my way here today, and I was just thinking of poor little Charlie Hurwitz.
he did spend $350,000 in an attempt to recall our district attorney. And so Measure T, to some degree, was an echo of our rebuffing the recall, and the numbers were pretty similar. We turned down the recall about 61-39, and I think Measure T came through a little bit thinner than that, I think 56.
Mm-hmm.
But the Prop 89 has a lot of similarities to Measure T, and it says that a corporation is not a person.
Yeah.
And that the corporate interest is not public trust interest.
Yeah, that corporate personhood
and
issue
it also,
is key.
It also says that anybody who works for the corporation, anybody on their board or any of their shareholders can all spend money on elections. So therefore, to enfranchise corporations from spending money on California ballot initiatives, $10,000 is not against anyone, individual's free speech.
Right.
Prop 89.
Yeah.
We're not suffering from labor besieging us with propaganda. $20 million by the tobacco companies and counting, the oil companies.
$90 million on the oil initiative.
So, I mean, this would be very clarifying because the amount of propaganda that would be allowed if we pass Prop 89 will go down dramatically.
Right.
If you're getting a hernia picking up your sample ballot, all those initiatives have gone from 1,000 to 10 or 12,000 words, and it's all corporate gobbledygook, and all of that will stop. We won't have these counter initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really hopeful that Prop 89 will go forward. And if any of the statutes within 89 turn out to be unconstitutional, they're severable. So we'd still have clean money.
Yeah, we can deal with that. Thank you, Phil.
Yeah.
And let's see if we have Barbara Burt back. Barbara, are you with us?
I am here, yes.
Great. Yeah, sorry for the glitch there. We have a lot of wires running long distance here. I wanted to find out the status of redistricting issues around the country. As we know, one of the reasons that there isn't more play in the congressional races this year is what's called gerrymandering. The districts are drawn by legislators for legislators. And we had a ballot measure that failed here last year because it was in the Arnold package.
Mm-hmm.
There was one in Ohio that was shot down for dubious reasons. What's the current status of honest redistricting?
There was also one in Florida that we were working on that was shot down after we'd gotten over 1 million signatures due to a technicality in the language of the initiative. You know, the status is that it's a bit on hold right now. The funding for doing this kind of reform work is not easy to come by because essentially both parties don't like it. You know, anybody who's in power isn't going to be favorably inclined to redistricting reform because that means it may be harder for them to keep their jobs. So
yeah, we have 54 seats up this November, and there's really two contested congressional elections in California.
Yeah, and actually, you know, the pundits are shocked that there are as many contested races as there are because redistricting is so widespread and has such an iron grasp of the electorate in many places. So, I think we're really fighting under the tight rein that all the redistricting has placed on many districts.
Yeah. Barbara, thank you for joining us. We'll talk with you again soon. I want people to go to commoncause.org and get the latest information on the efforts of Common Cause USA. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Peter, and thank your wonderful audience. I just think that they sound like they're the greatest. So
they're activists, and we'll see them at Gitmo soon. More coming up in our live broadcast from Blue Lake, California, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Del Arte Theater. With a lot of great KGOE radio listeners, thanks for coming out for our special election integrity broadcast. I want to take a moment to thank Linnell and Phil from the Many Hands Gallery. Could you stand up and take a bow? They helped underwrite the costs of producing this fabulous program today. Thank you very much. Really appreciate that. And lots of other fine people are here, and we want to invite you to participate in our discussion. Let's bring up his Bradness, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Peter B., how are you?
You have very high name recognition here, and if you ever want to run for office, this would be a good place for you to start.
Please don't give me any ideas. I've got enough bad ones as is.
Well, but you've got an advantage. If you chose to run for office, you know how to make the machines work for you.
Well, that's right. I do. And as a matter of fact, do I understand correctly that you've gotten all of the conspiracy theorists in Humboldt County into a single room up there?
Yes. This is not all of them.
Wow, the light from their tinfoil hats must be blinding, Peter.
Dave Berman, say hello to Brad and repeat what you just said.
Yeah, hey, Brad, this is not all of them, not even close.
You got a whole army of patriots out there who haven't showed up yet?
Yeah, we're waiting for you to come visit.
I'll be there soon, I hope.
And also on with us is Paul Lehto, L-E-H-T-O, the attorney from Washington State. Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Thanks for joining us, Paul, and I just want to tip my hat to you, and I wear hats because I'm so bald, that you came in to assist the effort that Brad and others started to draw attention to the bizarre circumstances of the special election that ran concurrently with our primary in June to replace the disgraced and imprisoned Randy Duke Cunningham. And that race in California District 50 came to a very unhappy, at least the chapters that have been written so far, led to a court decision that because Dennis Hastert had rushed to swear in Republican Brian Bilbray, that the court in California no longer had jurisdiction to review the problems with the underlying election. And this is something that people here are appropriately concerned about. Paul, is there any new development since we last spoke? You were preparing to research the appeals process.
Oh, yes. The appeal was filed. We filed our brief. Both of the defendants have filed their brief, and tomorrow we're going to file the reply brief, and we should have a decision before the election.
Oh, really? And is this narrowly to the issue of whether the court has jurisdiction once this swearing-in has occurred?
Yeah, the appellate court can only review the decisions made at the trial court level, which was the jurisdiction and the sufficiency of the evidence. But I wouldn't call that a narrow issue because the way it actually works out, it's about whether we have a democracy or not and whether people can control and supervise their own elections.
Yeah, that's not so narrow. I agree. Brad, is there anything else related to District 50 you'd like to bring up at this point?
Well, people need to understand that the original CA50 case was launched when it was discovered, you know, that they were sending home these voting machines on these sleepovers. And, in fact, right now, Michael Haas, the registrar of voters down there in San Diego, I've just gotten word back from folks who have begun training, poll worker training down there. They are already bringing their machines home with them as of today, which gives them 2.5-3 weeks to find 60 free seconds to hack those machines. We've got a serious problem because it's not just San Diego. It's happening all over the country. And people need to understand this. And frankly, we need attorneys. We need lawsuits. We need folks marching into court right now saying, no, these machines are too hackable. They cannot be sent home when they can be hacked in 60 seconds. You can't send them home with a poll worker to figure out what to do with them for 3 weeks. It's absolutely insane.
That is amazing. Dave Berman?
Well, I know that we have sleepovers here in Humboldt County. I'm wondering if anybody in our live audience has ever taken home a machine or expects to be taking home
here.
A machine.
Yes,
yeah,
Carl,
I think we need to hear from this person.
Carl, come on down.
This
yeah,
is Carl
you
Young,
told me
who
this
is
story.
A veteran here who's been on our program before. And Carl's very active in the community. They just had a stand down to assist Vietnam vets who need assistance. So, Carl, are you an election worker? Are you an election worker? Is that?
I was an election worker for the past two elections. They gave me a call about a month ago and said, "Are you interested in being an inspector again in one of the Fortuna precincts?" I said, "Absolutely not." After what I've heard from your show, and I had some real reservations about taking the optical scan machine home with me. I did that for 4 days the last time. I was just wondering, you know, I had it in my garage. I said I better lock it up in my closet or something like that. And I'm going like, boy, this is pretty loose. Someone could really get into this thing and break into it and do whatever they wanted to it.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at the dynamics of this fine county we live in with Republicans and Democrats and left and right and everything else, I'm going, there's a formula for disaster here.
Yeah.
And so I went on record and said, I am formally protesting this practice. I don't care if it's a policy with you people or not. I will no longer serve as a precinct officer or an inspector until this is resolved.
That is an example of withdrawing your complicity. I have a book called We Do Not Consent, and I say that we need to withdraw our consent. And I also say we need to withdraw our complicity, and I applaud you for doing that.
Thank you, Carl.
Yeah. I also might suggest that those people who have signed up as poll workers, those who have taken those voting machines home, let's see some pictures out there on the web. Let's see where those voting machines are taken. Put some pajamas on them if you like. Let's let America know exactly what the hell is going on with their voting machines and that citizens are taking them home and playing kickball in the front yard with them. And let's show everybody. That's what video and still pictures and the Internet is for.
Yeah. Paul Ladle here. As if the machine stayed with the elections officials that everything would be safe, because they're in a position with the secret vote counting that is the capability of all computerized voting to sell elections, do whatever they want with the elections. And in fact, if you successfully cheat an election, you become the elections official, and then you get to set policy for the next election. So I oftentimes say, if you're looking for an election criminal, look in office. And so even if we get rid of the sleepovers, there's still a deeper problem, and that is that computers, by their very nature of using invisible electrons and secret vote counting, can't really deliver us the democracy and the transparency that we need.
And proprietary source code, too. Dave Berman?
In Humboldt County, I have found a lot of people with the misconception that we have never had problems with our voting machines here, but in the June election, we had memory cards fail in Eureka and in Arcata, and we had optical scanners that were unable to transmit their information to the central tabulator in a whole bunch of different precincts, one of which was Fortuna, where you were. Can you tell us about that?
Right. We actually had one of the election officials, one of the technicians there, and we called up and complained that we were unable to transmit the data.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it through the Fortuna Police Department there at their fax line. Was a problem or something, I don't know, but bottom line, they came down and supposedly resolved the problem there. But I was going to say one more quick thing about if you want to make a change, you empower the election workers with this kind of information, and by golly, if enough people stand back and say, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to act as an election worker, it'll come to a screaming halt. And there will be some changes made, but it takes people stepping out and doing it.
Not to criticize that, but the flip side is that I would still like to see people like you, Carl, there monitoring this November's election, because we can't be sure that whoever was hired to replace you has the same level of vigilance.
Well, I agree with the on-site monitoring, but the problem is the 3 or 4 days prior to it.
Yeah, understood.
And you're unable to still deal with that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an easy fix. Have the sheriff's departments pick up the machines at the elections office, drop them off at each precinct prior to the election. We'll go through our checklist that we need to go through to mm-hmm. check all the information and make sure it's accurate, it's cleared, things like this, as best we can. But I don't know what's happening with the card inside, so we'll do that one.
Okay, Carl, thanks. Now let me turn to Brad. And Brad, describe for us what the Secretary of State's protocols are for the chain of custody of these machines in the time period before the day of the election.
The Secretary of State's protocol for chain of custody is to tell the registrars of voters that they should have a protocol for chain of custody. And then when the registrars apparently don't have any such protocol, it is to not come on shows like yours, not show up to debates to talk about it, to send out forum emails saying everything is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a real mess in our hands. This is one of the things, Paul can probably talk about it a little bit more on what we discovered down in CA50. There are no chain of custody logs, and when there are, they are, they have huge holes in them and they don't wish to give them up. They say that they've got chain of custody requirements, but they have no procedures in place to actually assure that they do. And when they don't, nobody is held accountable.
That's amazing. Paul, your comment?
Yeah, the lack of accountability is rather intense. For example, they say there's either no evidence of problems, or on the other hand, they say the problem was caught and fixed. They either say you've got no evidence that the election was incorrect, or you get some evidence, and then they say you've only got a little bit of evidence and not enough to change the result of the election, and then if you get enough that to show that the result of the election has changed, then they say it's sour grapes and sore loser man and all that kind of stuff. So the point is that no matter how much evidence there is or how little evidence there is, and no matter how much damage to democracy there is, they're going to do nothing because they've got a response that dismisses accountability and rejects the idea of accountability at every single turn.
Well, and we have these registrars. Brad referenced Michael Haas in San Diego. He has appeared to be shocked and hurt that anyone would suggest that just one of his election workers might do something untoward or illegal. And then there was Tony N. Chundo. He was the registrar of voters in Monterey County. About a year ago this week, he came on our program. He brought in a touchscreen machine and demoed it for us. And, you know, we asked him all kinds of questions. And at the end of it all, he said, trust me.
Right. Well, trust is totally inappropriate. It's the opposite of checks and balances. And you've got to remember that when they say trust, they're trying to get rid of checks and balances, which is fundamentally changing the nature of our system that has served us so well.
And Paul, Tony N. Chundo resigned his post in disgrace because he couldn't be trusted with a county credit card.
Well, look at Cunningham himself. Why was he able to get $2.4 million in bribes? It's because the secret intelligence budgeting process allowed the lack of accountability that he could get away with that kind of stuff. And now we've got the problems of secrecy in our elections.
I'll add that Tony N. Chundo, and by the way, I really wanted to trust him because he had been elected, had served something like 13 years as the election registrar in Monterey County. And, of course, you know, I was heartbroken when I learned that he was charged with 43 criminal counts of embezzlement, forgery, and grand theft to the tune of $70,000 county dollars.
Brad, but he didn't use a voting machine to do that.
Yeah, well...
He just abused his office, not the machinery.
You're right. So we should trust him for everything else. Look, here's the fact of the matter. Elections officials, not all of them, but a lot of them, are out and out lying to you. Debbie Hench in San Joaquin, Michael Haas down there in San Diego, Connie McCormick in Los Angeles, and by the way, she's the head of the California Election Clerks Association. They are lying to you, as is the Secretary of State's office, lying to you. Now, the only way, aside from marching into court when we can afford it, and by the way, please stop by velvetrevolution.us and donate to our efforts, because we are taking these bad guys to court whenever and wherever we can. But aside from that, the only way to hold them accountable is for folks to be educated about what's really going on. So when liars like Debbie Hench or Michael Haas come out and tell folks something that's out and out untrue, the citizens know better. And they can say they're lying, and they can give it to some jerk with a blog to let everyone know about it. And that's the only way to bring sunshine to what the hell is going on here with our electoral system.
Watch that talk, Friedman. Some of my best friends as bloggers. We're going to take a break and continue with his Bradness and attorney Paul Leto. And if you want to call the program, our number is toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. Live from the Eureka area, this is the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hey, Sheila Gale here. Join me on Reality Radio Saturday afternoons 4 to 5, where we dive into the real stuff of life, living day to day, trying to find peace in this crazy world with the most colorful guests. Saturday, 4 to 5, Sheila Gale and Reality Radio, brought to you in part by Myrick Photographic. Time to start thinking about your holiday cards. Just a click away, go to www.myrickphoto.com. Myrick Photographic on Fremont Street in Monterey. Myrick.
This is Laura Pruneta, Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by and have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Tom Hartman.
See, the bottom line here, Bush is afraid to negotiate. And now he's having to negotiate out of fear.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
It's the exact opposite of what John Kennedy suggested in his inaugural address back in 1961.
Let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate.
And Bush has done both.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
9 minutes before the hour, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Blue Lake, California, with a live and lively audience. On the phone with us, Brad Friedman and Paul Leto. We'll ask them to stand by so we can take a call from Randall in Tempe, Arizona. Hello, Randall. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, hello, Peter. Hello, Brad and Paul. I've talked to all of you guys before on Air America Phoenix or possibly on Peter's show. I just heard the person that said they wanted to withhold their complicity and resign in protest from being a board worker, a poll worker.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to please appeal to everyone, do not stop being a poll worker. It's like the judge that resigned from the FISA court in protest. That leaves nobody but complicit Nazis on the FISA court. And we want our board workers, we're trying to recruit board workers that really care about democracy, and we don't want them to quit. We want the other ones to quit. Now, we have a lot of chain of custody problems here in Arizona, and our only sleepover is at the polling place. The machines get dropped off the day before, and the board workers get together and set them up, and then they sit there overnight unsecured, and we have these little plastic seals on everything that break.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all working on that, but I'm
all right, Randall. I've got your point.
Don't
and I
quit.
Understand.
Make the other.
I think that Carl made a personal decision on principle that I respect, and likewise, I agree that we need as many vigilant people monitoring these activities as possible. So thanks for your call today. Now I want to take a call from the guy who is one of my regulars and a real contributor to our program. He's live with us here today, Dave Goggin. Hey, Dave.
Hey. It's so good to see you here live and in person, Peter. I think history is going to judge us very harshly for this. The evidence of election fraud, to me, is overwhelming. I could go into a lot of it, but I'd say the one clearest, most main evidence is the caliber of criminals we have running our governments.
Yeah.
Who would vote for them in a democracy?
Well, I don't have an answer to that question, but thanks for raising it, because people need to contemplate that. Yeah. Back to Paul and Brad. A gentleman here in the audience asked about whether people should be using absentee ballots as a way to avoid electronic voting machines. And this ties in as well with the gentlemanly differences that Paul and Brad have about the emergency paper ballots. So, Brad, first, on absentees, do you recommend that as a safer route for voters this year?
Only under certain conditions. Those conditions would be if your only choice is to use a touchscreen voting machine at the polling place, then yes, I would recommend an absentee ballot, but then I would recommend you deliver it by hand on election day, and you've got to sort of check your local laws there. If they allow that, and if it can be dropped off at the precinct, or if it has to go to the Board of Elections. But yeah, a paper ballot is always preferred. I want to mention, since you mentioned the emergency paper ballot, California has now put out a statement that every voter in California is entitled to vote on a paper ballot if they wish, and it is to be counted as a normal ballot. So if you're in California, your only choice is to use a touchscreen machine, as we have, for example, down here in Los Angeles, early voting, you can only vote on a touchscreen machine unless you know better and unless you ask them, nay, demand, they give you the paper ballot that you are entitled to have, which
and
I would
Paul,
strongly recommend.
Paul Leto, your advice?
Well, my advice is that which way to go depends upon the person's judgment as to what the nature of our elections or the condition of our elections are right now. We need so much more than to know that our own individual ballot is verified or what have you, because even if your own vote is counted, but they, you know, somebody stuffs another 10,000 ballots and the overall system, the overall election is corrupt, what does it matter if your particular, you know, vote was actually counted? In order for democracy to really count, the system as a whole needs to come together. So my critiques of that proposal are as follows. One, I don't think that there's anything we could do right now that's going to really create legitimate elections. I mean, we can mitigate it with our own personal choices, but we also may make certain problems worse. For example, if Democrats massively choose emergency paper ballots, all of the evidence from the 50th Congressional District is that they took 3 weeks to count the ballots, and that was not the DRE ballots or the touchscreen ballots. Those were the other, the paper-based ballots.
Right.
And that means that on election day, the results that are going to be reported by the newspapers and projections made on are going to be heavily Republican, much more than you know, they really ought to be. And so people are going to think, oh, well, they might think the election is hacked. I mean, I guess that would be probably a good thing. But, you know, they're going to be a lot more depressed and a lot more, and decisions about conceding and stuff like that will be made on a basis of distorted assumptions, because so many Democrats have opted out of the systems that report on election night in favor of the systems that may or may not report on election night and probably won't, since I think there'll be pretty good turnout. So there's a bunch of dangers, and no matter which way you go, and it's sort of damned if you do and damned if you don't, but that is not our fault. That's the fault of the people that set up these lousy election systems and, in fact, took what was the most advanced system of checks and balances in elections the humanity has ever discovered and destroyed it with computers, and then they call paper backwards. You know, their logic is backwards.
Howard in Pacific Grove, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead, Howard.
Hi, Peter. Just a couple of thoughts. Number one, I've been on permanent absentee ballot since the 2000 election, but in the end, I mean, does it really matter, since it's the people in power who count every vote, no matter how it's cast? So they can skew it whatever way they want.
All right, let's get a quick response first from Brad.
We are the people in power, not those people who are up there counting our votes. We need to be there on election night demanding that they're counting the votes, watching them count it, because they work for us, not the other way around. So as long as we sit back and refer to the quote-unquote people in power, then in fact we will be powerless. Let's take the power back.
And Paul Leto, a quick final comment. We have about 20 seconds.
Yeah, they are in power if we allow them to count votes secretly, but that doesn't mean ultimate power isn't in the people. But the important thing is that We have to have maximum distrust in elections, because the more people that are watching, the more transparency, the more bright lights there are, the better and more reliable the election is.
That's Paul Lato. Thanks for joining us, Attorney Paul Lato. And Brad Friedman will return later in our broadcast. We're live from Blue Lake, California, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Eleven more U.S. deaths in Iraq, and Marine reservists could face another tour.
By bringing Marines back means we need more of the infantry soldiers, security soldiers.
The Dow briefly tops 12,000.
Both the inflation and housing reports that came out were better than expected.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. October could turn out to be the deadliest month in 2 years for U.S. forces in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports on today's events.
As night fell in Baghdad, there was a series of explosions, one setting off a huge fire. U.S. military helicopters circled above. The U.S. military also announced the deaths of 11 troops, 10 soldiers and one Marine, killed in and around Baghdad in roadside bombs and enemy attacks. And Iraqi civilian deaths are occurring at a rate of 43 per day. The Iraqi government is stepping up its efforts to try to win the bloodshed. Prime Minister Maliki met with Shiite clerics, and a national reconciliation conference has been rescheduled for November 4th. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Baghdad.
Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, who spoke this afternoon at Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama, said he's anxious for Iraq's leaders to get results.
I'm impatient. Everyone's impatient. I can't help but be impatient. But think of that. That government's been there less than a baseball season.
Rumsfeld has authorized the Marine Corps to start planning for the redeployment of some reserve combat battalions that have already served a tour in Iraq. Retired Army Major Mike Lyons is a CBS News military consultant.
There's clearly a manpower issue. The fact that they have to send back Marines that were there before tells me that there's not enough active duty forces, either in the Marines or the Army, to take care of the security mission from a going forward perspective.
CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula reports four American soldiers will be court-martialed and two could face the death penalty for a heinous crime against Iraqi civilians.
The alleged incident happened in Mahmoudiya, Iraq, in mid-March. The four soldiers allegedly left their checkpoint and went to a nearby home, where they raped and murdered a 14-year-old girl before fatally shooting her parents and a younger sister. Military investigators say the soldiers tried to burn the bodies to get rid of evidence.
Four more soldiers are charged with murdering Iraqi detainees during a raid on a northern village in May. Now this.
And now another yellow tail.
Recently, while planning an engagement bash for my best friend, I asked my husband Frank to get enough yellowtail for 30. Wouldn't you know it, he ordered yellowtail sushi. Sushi! Fortunately, there was still time to get yellowtail wine, so I didn't have to toast my best friend with raw fish.
Yellowtail fact number 12. Yellowtail wine is named for the yellow-footed rock wallaby, a small kangaroo, not sushi. Imported by W.J. Deutsch & Sons, White Plains, New York. Please drink responsibly.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
When the closing bell rang at the New York Stock Exchange, the Dow was 42 points higher at 11,992. The real excitement came at the opening bell when the Dow took off like a rocket, briefly rising as high as 12,049. CBS News correspondent Trish Regan says the market reacted to an encouraging inflation report.
Basically, the consumer price index showed that inflation really hasn't crept up a lot in terms of what people are paying for food and energy, and that was good news for the street.
Investors also liked a report that shows an unexpected rebound in home building. A website claims there's a terrorist plot to detonate radioactive dirty bombs at 7 NFL stadiums this weekend. But Russ Kanaki at the Department of Homeland Security says they don't believe it.
Well, it's not credible. There's no intelligence to suggest such attacks. And quite frankly, what we're talking about here is a website posting, and the department views that posting with very strong skepticism.
He says the stadiums and local authorities were only alerted out of an abundance of caution. The search for the Fountain of Youth leads up another blind alley. Dr. Elizabeth Barrett Connor at the University of California, San Diego, has studied the anti-aging supplement DHEA.
These products are not tested by anybody to see what's in the capsule.
Whatever it is, she says, does nothing to make an elderly person look or feel any younger. But a little extra money couldn't hurt. Next year's cost of living increase for Social Security recipients will be 3.3%. For the typical retiree, that works out to about a dollar a day. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
General Motors, a new level of strength, a new level of quality, a new level of confidence. Introducing the GM 100,000-mile warranty. That's 8 brands and 80 models with 100,000 miles or 5 years of limited powertrain coverage. Learn more at GM.com or visit your local GM dealer.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we're doing it. We're doing it live in Blue Lake, California today. Your humble host is humbled and basking in the glow of this live audience of active, involved American citizens who are caring about the future of our country. And our broadcast today is focused on election integrity. 3 weeks ago yesterday, we go to the polls for the midterm elections, and it is crucial and critical. And despite the polling that shows Democrats likely to take back control of both the House and the Senate, we can't have confidence. We cannot slack off in any way because of the way the voting process works and doesn't work. And so those are the issues we're discussing here today. You're welcome, if you're out there listening on the radio, to give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. A little bit later this hour, we're going to talk with Shauna Wilson-Mora. She serves as the chair of the Human Rights Commission in Palo Alto, California. And we're going to discuss some of the efforts that they have undertaken about election integrity. Deborah Bowen, the Democratic candidate for California Secretary of State, will be with us later this hour. And we're joined now by Bev Harris from Black Box Voting. Bev, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Well, hello there.
And we've got a very lively audience here. How many people know that Bev Harris was the one who went on TV with Howard Dean and demonstrated how to hack an electronic voting machine? Bev?
Yes?
Your advance work was really good. Everybody here knows about that. Bev, tell us what your biggest concern is. Brad Friedman has described this as a train wreck in the making, our November elections. And will we be able to have confidence in the results?
No. And you know, I don't say that lightly, but for heaven's sakes, we've never yet, in 2 years of trying since 2004, found an election that we could substantiate the results from once we actually got the audit records. And that hasn't changed, and it's not been fixed. And what we're looking at now is we really have to get the citizens out of their chairs and out into the field collecting videotapes and public records to make this case. I mean, this is, we didn't fix anything.
Well, what about the Help America Vote Act that Bob Ney helped pass?
You mean the Help Yourself to America's Vote from the guy who was convicted of corruption charges? Yeah, that helped a lot.
He just played a little golf, you know, had a friend named Abramoff. Well, we do have a serious mess on our hands, and I want to turn to John. He lives in Brookings, Oregon, and he drove here to the Eureka area today. He's called us on many occasions, and I appreciate his contributions. John, you had a very important question. I'd like you to pose it now.
Okay, it's a question and possibly a solution. I know in Europe they rely on accurate exit polling. And there's a high correlation, very high correlation, between an accurate exit poll and the actual voting results. Why don't we stop worrying so much about the machines and go pure paper, take our time, take a week if we need to, and count accurately, but announce, according to the exit poll, X1 or Y1 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there are two elements there. One is about exit polling, and we learned in 2004 that the only exit polls that could be believed were the ones in the Ukraine.
Right.
The ones in Ohio and New Mexico and other battleground states were immediately dismissed and discounted by both Democrats and Republicans, shockingly. And the media moved on immediately and declared that those of us who had questions about the election were, oh, conspiracy theorists. So, Bev, first up, about exit polling, his point is correct. And we know that one of the reasons that it's legitimate to suspect the outcome of the Ohio 2004 election is the wide variance of the published results from the exit polling.
Yeah, one of the things a lot of people don't realize about exit polling is that they start out, the first half of the exit poll has to do with what people say when they leave the poll. And then they switch over late in the evening to an extrapolation of what's coming in from the voting machines. And in 2000, 2002, and 2004, in all three of those elections, the exit polls from the people saying what they voted for said one thing, and then late at night, all of a sudden it switched. You saw this flip. And that flip happened when they started switching to the technique, which they do, or they used to do in these exit polls, which started pulling in the results from the machines. So what that says very clearly is that the stuff, the information coming in from the machines, starting in 2000, stopped matching what the people were saying. And so what they did was say, oh, well, the people must be telling us wrong, instead of saying, wait a minute, maybe there's a problem with the machines.
And didn't the University of Pennsylvania run a study and declare that the odds of the exit polling being that far off from the published results were like 1 in 250 billion million?
Yes, I'm not a mathematician, so I can't comment on
it. Me either, and you can tell.
on that. But it is clear that, you know, we have a problem, and the problem is pretty severe. In 2002, they actually aborted the exit poll process partway through because the exit poll numbers weren't matching what the voting machines said.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what was really disturbing about that is nobody stopped and said, well, wait a minute, if the exit polls have been working for the last 40 years and they work in other countries, why are we saying that it's the exit polls that are the problem, not the voting machines?
Right. Now, Bev, on November 7th, will there be exit polling conducted, and by whom?
Pretty scattershot. You know, it was being conducted by a media consortium. They did it for about 40 years, and after the 2000 mess, it was switched over. That system didn't work, and now it's really in kind of turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't trust anything that comes out of the exit polls, frankly, from this next election, because it really is in turmoil. And, of course, exit polls are only as good as who runs them.
Right.
You know, if some organization we've never heard of comes riding in on a white horse between now and the election and says, let's do exit polls, I would look at that very skeptically.
Well, I'd love to see some people come over from the Ukraine to monitor our elections and run some exit polls for us this year.
There you go.
Ma'am, step up to the microphone, give us your name, and ask a question or offer a comment.
Yeah, I had a question.
And your name?
My name is Beth. I'm from the lovely Victorian village of Ferndale.
Well, thanks for joining us here.
Thank you.
We love Ferndale.
I do, too. I was listening to your show a few months back, and either you or somebody you had on suggested that to circumvent this whole insecure, unsecured electronic system of voting, one thing that you could do is to become an absentee voter. And so I ran right out without thinking too much about it and did that, and then spoke with some people that said, well, those results are electronically tabulated anyway, and the last votes counted. So now I'm having second thoughts about that. I'm wondering if I'm cooked, whether or not I can reverse that, and whether or not it's advisable for me to do so.
Well, Bev, what's your best advice?
I'm sorry to tell you that the absentee vote should be your absolute last choice unless you are in a situation where you have a touch screen that has no paper trail at all. Unfortunately, although the absentee voting system could be made pretty secure, it's not. And Diebold has actually disabled the controls on the absentee vote counting machines. We actually taught a chimpanzee. I taught Howard Dean how to hack the system, but after I did that, I actually taught a chimpanzee how to hack it and videotaped that. Well, the system we taught the chimp to hack is the one that the absentee votes go into. And it could be better. They could fix it. There's only about 5 or 6 attack points. So in some ways it could be better, but they haven't fixed the security problems. And she's right. They do get counted by a voting machine, and very few eyes ever look at those ballots, unfortunately.
Dave Berman has a comment from the local Voter Confidence Committee here in Humboldt.
Hey, Dave.
How you doing? This is on a different subject, but I remember in 2003 reading your reports about the Rob Georgia file, and then recently Bobby Kennedy published that piece in Rolling Stone with the whistleblower, and I was wondering if he talked to you about that or just, you know, any other thoughts about this 3 years later confirming what you reported.
Right. Yeah, I spent about 10 hours with his writers on that article that he did and provided a tremendous amount of documents and background information. But what he did was actually pull out a second whistleblower. So we interviewed a guy by the name of Rob Baylor, who, by the way, is not who the file was named after. It's a Rob Georgia file, and we all assumed it was named after Rob Baylor, who was the whistleblower. But actually, it turns out he was hired after that Rob Georgia file, which had Georgia patches, was created.
And that's Rob as in the verb, too.
It sounds like it's Rob as in the verb.
Mm-hmm.
But, Bobby Kennedy uncovered another whistleblower that corroborated everything that Rob Baylor said and that we had reported in 2003. So essentially, that election in Georgia in 2002 looks to have been cooked.
Well, and Max Cleland was quite a victim there. It was sad to see that happen. Okay, anybody else have a question? If you'd like to ask Bev Harris a question, we're going to take a quick break, and you can approach the microphone during the break, and when we return, we'll hear your questions. You can also call into the program wherever you happen to be listening at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. We'll continue with Bev Harris from Black Box Voting and our live audience here in Blue Lake, California in just a moment. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
The Ferndale Auto Care Center and the Blue Frame Muffler Center remind you a vast new world of knowledge is available to our children on the Internet. But a growing number of young people are being targeted by strangers attempting to establish offline contact. Make sure your children know about all the dangers of child abduction. This message is from the Ferndale Auto Care Center and the Blue Frame Muffler Center, 8485 Ferndale North Road. Visit PLAAC.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Paid for by Jeff Denham for State Senate.
Hey, honey, you know about our Senator Jeff Denham?
Oh, yeah. He's an almond grower and owns a produce container business.
He sure makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. Jeff Denham authored Jessica's Law legislation requiring satellite tracking of convicted sex predators.
Well, Denham also wrote a bill increasing flood protection, fought against the tractor tax, and he strongly opposes government taking our private property to build housing developments.
Did you see this?
No, what?
Senator Denham received the California Teachers' highest award for opposing education funding cuts.
Wow.
And I really liked his vote prohibiting smoking when small children are riding in a car seat.
The thing is about Denham, he knows what it means to work the land. He's fighting to protect our water rights and preserve our farmland for future generations.
You know what else about Jeff Denham?
What?
He doesn't ask whether it's a Democrat or a Republican idea.
That's right. He only asks, is it the right thing to do?
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. We're going to take a look at Highway 17, the Santa Cruz Mountains. No stalls or accidents to report on that roadway. Well, it appears, let's see, Watsonville heads up Casserly Road at Carlton. Believe it or not, nine horses, that's right, nine, are running in lanes. So you need to drive with extra caution in that particular area. And just a little bit of advisory here. Eastbound 125, a little bit slow out of Gilroy into Hollister. Southbound 1 looking pretty good between Monterey and Carmel at this point. Eastbound 129, it's a little bit of slow-and-go traffic. Not too bad from Watsonville to Aroma, so not a bad commute overall today. Well, you don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works, the everyday pain reveal. This report brought to you by Advil. Mike McDowell with traffic on KRXA 540.
The votes gets the last laugh. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's our voter integrity special right here in Blue Lake, California. I want to thank all the folks who stopped by here, and if you're driving around in your car in the Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County area, come on over. We're going to be here live till 6 o'clock, and then we have a media roundtable that will commence shortly after the live broadcast, and you're welcome to come and participate and share your ideas with us. We go to the phones now, and Alice, one of my favorite listeners in Humboldt County, is on the line. Hello, Alice.
Hi, Peter. I've been waiting and waiting for you.
I know, because I got that case of wine, and you've been thirsty since you won it in July.
Well, I'm sure you've made a number of people happy if you brought the case of high-cost wines with you.
Well, I
really wanted to be there today, Peter.
Well, I wanted to meet you,
but
Alice.
I've had a bad back.
I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you're feeling better.
Well, that's what you get.
Yeah. Well, you hang in there. You're an inspiration to me.
Sounds like you're having fun.
Well, I think we are having fun. Is there anybody?
I still believe these new Republicans stole our last several elections, and they are going to try to do it again next month. No one should concede to them.
You are absolutely right.
Yes.
And John made the point a couple of minutes ago about how we don't need to know the results on election night. We proved in 2000 that America can wait, even for unhappy election results decided by a Supreme Court. And so there is no rush to these results, and that's an important message we've got to get out there. We need to get it right. And if it takes a few days or a week and a lot of labor to count paper ballots, so be it, because the integrity of our system is more important than getting it fast and getting it wrong. Yeah. Alice, great to hear from you. Thanks for checking in today, and I hope you feel better.
Okay, thank you very much.
You bet. Now to Janine in Phoenix. Hello, Janine. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Bev Harris from Black Box Voting.
Well, gosh, you guys, you're sounding like, you know, you're having a party there. Good for you.
Well, it's festive. It's festive, and we have a serious purpose. I'd put it that way.
Well, Peter, I think I'm calling looking for answers or to enhance my understanding of this polling process. I am calling you from Phoenix, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I work the polls here. And the thing that I honestly, I mean, don't understand what's happening to all the information at the end of the day. You know, I watch them use the machines. You know, I, in the last election, was given the card that it looks like a Wi-Fi card. And, you know, I take that and I bundle up what they call are the paper ballots that go through a machine that's scanned by something named the Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And I drive them down, and I'm in a parking lot where I am in line with many other cars, where I reach a certain point where I put my window down and I hand stuff over to, I don't know who these people are, in the parking lot, you know, in the dark.
Well, hold on a second, Janine. You know, most crack deals are conducted with more security than that.
Honestly. And I know that...
Janine, hold on a sec, because our time is tight. Let's get a comment from Bev. Go ahead, Bev.
You know, she did a great job of describing it. We actually have a videotape of this, you know, handoff and how they throw things around, and it's in the dark, you know. It's actually called Can You Spot a Memory Card Swap in the Dark, you know, and it's a video on our site. We click the video camera, you can see it. It's really a mystery. And the chain of custody, we actually have a toolkit for citizens that shows them different things they can do to go out there and get evidence so we can make a case for this election on how messed up it is. And one of the modules is watch the chain of custody. And we were laughing when we wrote this because people are not going to believe it. If they actually go and take a video camera and watch the chain of custody, it is insane. In Cleveland, they were toting these ballot boxes, which are the size of credit cards. They were toting them around in the backseat of yellow cabs. The cab drivers were saying, hey, this is insecure. We don't feel too good about this. And yet this fact escaped every single member of the Board of Elections.
Wow.
So, you know, the chain of custody nowadays, where with these little electronic cartridges and so forth, is really quite scary. I'm glad she brought that up. And I encourage citizens to get out there with their video cameras and document this, because the news media is going to be stunned when they see what really happened.
Janine, thanks for your call. And Bev, blackboxvoting.org is the website.
Yes.
And I understand you're going to be in Garberville this weekend.
I am. It's going to be Saturday night at 7 o'clock. And it's with, if you hit the civilliberties.org website, you'll see all the information on it. And also for citizens who want to bring people in who maybe aren't so familiar with this, HBO is having a special called Hacking Democracy. It starts November 2nd. It's going to be on quite a few times during November. But what we're recommending is that people have a house party, and then when they get people there and they see how frustrating this situation is, because you will see on this HBO special machines being hacked by Harry Hirsty in Leon County, Florida, before your very eyes. And
yeah,
it is dramatic footage.
Okay, so that's Saturday night, 7 o'clock in Garberville. A question, ma'am, your name, and go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Barbara, and I'm also from Oregon. And a few years back, we gave up our polling places, and Oregon is a totally mail-in state, and I don't know how many other states are. And the Secretary of State assures us that that has brought about, you know, better participation. But I wonder how we see that that is any more safe or secure.
Yeah,
or if
Bev, are mail-in ballots counted by machines?
Yeah, and in Oregon, mostly ES&S machines, which have had a pretty big history of glitches and problems.
All right. Thanks for bringing that question forward. I know Emily's on the line. We don't have time for your call right now, but hold over till the next segment, and we'll get to you. And if anybody else would like to call, it's 888-5-PETER-B. Bev Harris, thank you very much for joining us here today, and thanks for the hard work you've been doing.
Thank you. Got to run. Bye-bye.
All right. Bev Harris, thank you very much. Coming up next in our next segment, we'll meet Shauna Wilson-Mora from the Palo Alto Human Rights Commission and State Senator Deborah Bowen, the Democratic nominee for Secretary of State, will be with us in the next half hour, too. Right here, live on the Peter B. Collins Show from Blue Lake, California.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Could we please be impressed this time? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. After North Korea's first nuclear test, the country's UN ambassador could not contain his glee.
And I'm very much proud of our scientists and researchers who have conducted such a very, very successful nuclear underground test.
He was prouder than a chihuahua with his first squirrel. But then came the doubts. We couldn't detect radiation emissions from the North Korean test site. And when we finally did, the consensus was that as nuclear explosions go, it was a dud. Well, if you're in this for the prestige, having your bomb called a dud is worse than no bomb at all. Secretary Rice is trying to cool things down.
The United States has no desire to escalate this crisis. In fact, we would like to see it de-escalate.
But how do you de-escalate if they test another bomb? Well, how about this? How about this time we at least act impressed? Even if it's a flop, we should say, ooh, that was scary, or really good try, or that looks just like a bomb. Did you make that all by yourself? You know, something. But Dave, you say, won't that just encourage them? Well, what if it does? Look, we have more nukes than anybody, right? The deluxe kind. And what does it get us? Everybody hates us, and it's costing at least $50 billion to clean up the bomb-making waste. You know, as long as North Korea is determined to go nuclear, which means they'll have to store all that waste, why don't we just pay them to take ours, too? No environmental impact statements. Their territory will emit lots of radiation 24-7. Everybody's happy.
Please don't make me decorate this weekend.
Fine. No decorating this weekend.
Really?
Sure. Monday will be just fine.
Oh, man. I knew it.
It's the October Savings event at Sherwin-Williams. This Thursday through Monday, save 25% on paints and stains and 15% on Duration Premium Coatings. Save an extra 10% on custom order wallpaper and get free shipping, too. Hurry. Sale ends Monday, October 23rd.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
I am Juan Escamilla, hands-on owner of Wilson's Tire and Service and candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6. Cabrillo College is an excellent community college. Let's make it even better by adding state-of-the-art vocational training for our entire community. That's why I'm asking for your vote on November 7th. I am Juan Escamilla, candidate for Cabrillo College Board of Trustees, District 6, and I would appreciate your vote.
Hard work with straight talk. Escamilla for Cabrillo College Trustee, District 6.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Down in Monterey.
left coast, live from Blue Lake, California. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. And I am your humbled host, Peter B. It's great to be here in KGOE country. And, of course, our listeners on other stations can call us up on the phone. We just heard from Janine in Phoenix. And if you're in Phoenix, if you're on the Central Coast listening to KRXA, or if you're in Oregon listening to KBBR, you can give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. As we mentioned, this event today has been coordinated by the Voter Confidence Committee here in Humboldt County, and Dave Berman is a prominent member of that group. You're all consensus builders, so you don't have a title like CEO or Major Domo?
No, there's no title.
No title, okay. And the Voter Confidence Committee was responsible for a resolution that was adopted by the nearby Arcata City Council in July of last year. And it's one of these whereas things. It's got about 11 whereases, and you know what they are. It's whereas an election's outcome is a matter of public record, whereas a properly functioning system should produce unanimous agreement about the results, and whereas U.S. federal elections have been conducted under conditions that have not produced unanimous agreement about the outcome, now, therefore, be it resolved, because inconclusive results, by definition, mean that the true outcome of an election cannot be known, there is no basis for confidence in the results reported from U.S. federal elections. And, therefore, be it also resolved that the following is a comprehensive platform to try to restore confidence in American elections. And we'll detail some of those elements in a moment. But Arcata is not the only municipality that has embraced a voter confidence resolution. Also with us from the Palo Alto Human Rights Commission is its chair, Shauna Wilson-Mora. Shauna, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being invited. And hi, Dave. Good to be on a show with you. It's actually the Human Relations Commission. So it actually, you know, but human rights is definitely part of the component.
All right. I've just changed my notes. Human relations. That's very good. And tell us, Shauna, about the process that led to the passage of this kind of a resolution in Palo Alto.
Well, the Human Relations Commission is actually chartered to be able to look at different things that we believe might be impacting the way people are being able to experience their civil rights and their civic duties and their experience of being human beings in the United States. And some of the things that we've been involved in was a resolution against the Patriot Act and against the war in Iraq and in support of a federal Department of Peace. And whenever I was so disillusioned and discouraged by the 2000 election and the 2004 election that I started looking around to find out, you know, always trying to find somebody who's already written something that I don't have to make from scratch, found the resolution that had been passed by the city of Arcata and kind of drafted something together and put it on the agenda for the, I believe it was for the February of 2006. And Dave, amazingly enough, surfed the web and found that and contacted me and gave me even more information, which was a great resource.
Well, and under the new Joe Stalin Interrogation, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006, the two of you could be declared unlawful enemy combatants and sent away for a long, long time.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm on some list somewhere.
But I'm glad that you have been colluding. We won't call it a conspiracy, because it's that kind of interconnectivity that really can help us change things in America. Dave?
Well, yeah. I mean, the reason that we took this path towards putting these particular sentiments out was that we wanted to be able to have something that could be a consensus-building statement. Before the Arcata City Council adopted the voter confidence resolution, it floated around for about 15 months in various iterations, accumulating input from the community until finally we had a majority support on the council. And the idea the entire time was that the document we were developing was to be a template so that other communities could take the same concept, go through the same consensus-building process, and get their local government to make the same kind of a declaration. And there was really just a couple of key points that needed to be maintained as we would hope to see this spread from one community to the other, and then the rest of the components could be completely debated and, you know, made to meet for local agreement. So you mentioned probably the most key phrase, Peter. You said no basis for confidence, and that has kind of been a hallmark phrase for me for the past couple of years now. There's no reason to believe the results that we're given. We're asked to accept election results with blind faith. So there's simply no basis for confidence.
Mm-hmm. And the resolution in Arcata offered 8 different areas, and I'll just breeze through them here quickly as bullet points, that to restore confidence, we need voting processes that are owned and operated entirely in the public domain, clean money laws, a voter-verified paper ballot for every vote cast, election day, a national holiday, counting votes publicly and locally in the presence of citizen witnesses and the media, equal time provisions restored by the media along with a measurable increase in local public control of the airwaves. I certainly support that. Presidential debates with a minimum of 3 candidates and preferential voting and proportional representation to replace the winner-take-all system for federal elections. So, Shauna, tell us what kind of reaction there has been to the Palo Alto resolution.
Well, you know, we ended up hitting a couple of different snags along the way. The HRC had initially passed a resolution that was pretty much exactly what the Arcata one had been back in February of 2006. And then for whatever reason, I'm not sure I want to try and put more attention to it than is necessary. It didn't make it to the City Council until May. At that point, when I spoke to it at the City Council meeting, a number of different council members took issue with a couple of different aspects that were in the initial resolution. One of them, declaring Election Day a national holiday. I think some of the council members were concerned that they didn't want to have to pay city employees to take the day off. And weren't sure that actually would increase voter turnout anyway. They felt that the winner-take-all provisional voting was also something that would be too complicated. It doesn't seem to be too complicated for maybe 8 or 9 different other countries, but apparently too complicated for this country.
Yep.
And also that they had some, they did not believe that the FCC being able to have fair election, I don't remember what it's called, but it's that it, being able to have equal time provisions,
mm-hmm.
did not think that belonged in the voter confidence resolution. I disagreed, but at this point I'm trying to get it passable. And
sure, it's
so
politics.
In my letter indicating why I removed the different items that they had suggested, I did cite the different Supreme Court rulings that did say that the FCC did have the authority to be able to enforce equal time provisions. They just chose not to.
Yeah.
And pulled the election day one out, as well as the preferential voting.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it did still run into some snags, but eventually passed with all those, with all the other ones that you had cited from the Arcata
mm-hmm.
resolution. And then I had gone and put in, a bunch more whereases just to make sure that some of the things that had been cited as a therefore were supported by the whereas.
Well, it's important to cover your whereas.
I tell you.
We have a question from one of our stalwarts here in the audience. Your name, sir?
Phil Hazmer. Thank
Phil,
you.
Phil, lean in there because there are people in Phoenix straining to hear what you're saying.
Phil Hazmer.
Hi, Phil.
Locally from Eureka.
All right, your question?
And I would personally like to thank you for being here.
Well, I'm happy to be here. And at least you didn't thank me for taking your call.
There seems to be more integrity in the voters than there is in the counting system. Are you aware, or is anyone that you're talking with aware, of a system that is actually working now?
That
for counting, for making sure the integrity of the vote itself.
I think that hand counting or, computer-assisted tabulation where the ballots are read by humans and then, the numbers are counted from there. But let me turn to Dave. What's your sense of the most reliable system available?
Well, the Voter Confidence Committee has been advocating for hand counting paper ballots since its inception, and that's still where we're at. We're fortunate in Humboldt County to have the paper ballots. We just don't see any reason to jam them in the scanners because it's, basically where the whole thing goes becomes a joke.
Yeah.
So I wanted to mention one other aspect of the resolution that speaks to how this is a template. The very end of the resolution says that the elections under these conditions fail to seek the consent of the governed. In the Declaration of Independence, the consent of the governed is identified as the only legitimate source for government power. That's where the government derives its power. It's where the government derives its legitimacy.
And yeah, so, but everything changed on 9/11.
Yeah, pretty much. So what you know, the resolution is attempting to do is saying, well, you know, if they are not, if this process of elections under these conditions does not seek the consent of the governed, what it's doing is taking that consent for granted. And we have to basically demolish that assumption. We have to withdraw the consent of the governed. And that's why I have a book called We Do Not Consent. And if you want to actually read the resolution, you can go to my blog, wedonotconsent.blogspot.com, and get a hold of it and, you know, start organizing where you live and take it to your city council. This is not something that's going to work on the state level. It's not going to work on the federal level. But what we need are communities that begin to disengage and stop going along with basically a phony process that assumes your consent.
Pat.
Thank you, Peter. Pat Higgins, Humboldt County resident for 35 years. You know, in terms of a solution, I strongly favor open source software. And I helped revise the openvoting.org website with Alan Deckard, who you've had on your program.
Mm-hmm.
This is where computer clones are owned by the public, and those can't be changed. Anybody tampering with those would be, you know, punishable by law. There's a paper ballot with a barcode. You see your results. If you're blind, it'll read it to you. Your ballot goes into a box. It's a lock box. There's a paper trail. This can be about $300 a computer, because any basic $300 computer could be this voting mm-hmm. machine. And there is no cards that are inserted. So there's no mechanism of tampering. And currently, Diebold machines cost $3,000 to $7,000 each. So we're looking at terminals that would be $300 each. And we got $1.5 million here in Humboldt County from the Help America Vote Act. That was billions of dollars, folks. And it was all for these paperless touchscreen machines. We could have funded open source software for the nation with the money allocated for Humboldt County, but we couldn't do that. It was illegal.
Yeah.
So actually, I've been trying to raise funds over the Internet at openvoting.org to see whether or not we could just tin cup it to one another and do it for $1.5 million. If Deborah Bowen gets elected Secretary of State right here in the state, she is going to make open source a reality in California. And guess what? Then it's free to the rest of the nation.
Thank Deborah you, Bowen. Thank you, Pat. Deborah Bowen's going to join
Deborah
us.
Deborah Bowen House Party this Saturday night, October 21st.
Okay, hold on, Pat, because I need to squeeze in a call. We've got John on the line. Hello, John. Join us, please, and go right ahead.
Hey, I'm listening to this and playing devil's advocate.
Yeah?
It sounds to me like, because there's never been any proof of any actual elections being turned over by fraud of a bunch of disgruntled Democrats, you sound like a bunch of 9/11 conspiracy nuts. I love Humboldt County, but I mean, tell me where something's been proven where an election has been stolen.
Well, John, I would just suggest you take a look at Ohio. Bob Petrakis, who's going to join us next hour, he co-authored a book with Harvey Wasserman that showed over 180 different ways that votes were either, you know, stolen, hacked, or suppressed in Ohio. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wrote a powerful piece that details
that
the Ohio election is not one that we have confidence in, and I frankly think that it was stolen. Your point of asking for judicial proof is something that will come down the road, because this is something that takes a long time, and there are many cases that are in the pipeline right now. Thanks a lot for your call from Phoenix today, and thank you to Shauna Wilson-Mora for joining us from the Palo Alto Human Relations Commission. We take a quick break and return with State Senator Deborah Bowen, candidate for Secretary of State here in California. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi, as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
And taking a look at traffic, let's give you the very latest here. Tell you that we do have no problems on Highway 17, no stalls or accidents or of any kind at this point. And also want to mention a problem, however. We're going to take a look at Twin Lakes, 6th Avenue at Eaton. Accident, it's on the right shoulder. 3 vehicles involved in this particular problem. Just a bit of an advisory, of course. Monterey, the Del Monte Avenue off-ramp from southbound 1 will be closed for tree trimming work. In fact, it's already wrapped up, but traffic may be a little bit heavy in the area because of that. It'll last until Friday, October 20th at this point. And this report brought to you by Preparation H. Carry Preparation H portable wipes, convenient little packets that hold very big wipes to cleanse, clean, and soothe, even when you're not at home. Preparation H portable wipes, big relief to go. I'm Mike McDowell with traffic on KXRA 540.
We are live from Del Arte in Blue Lake, California. And a large crowd of KGOE listeners is here this afternoon. Thank you very much for taking time to come out to our election integrity special. And joining us now is a woman that many of us believe can help resolve some of the problems in California if she wins election on these machines in November, just about 3 weeks from now. She is State Senator Deborah Bowen, the Democratic nominee for Secretary of State. Senator Bowen, thanks for joining us today.
Wow, thank you. That was fabulous.
Well, this is a very lively crowd, and there was just a pitch for a Deborah Bowen house party coming up this Saturday in the area.
Great.
So you have a lot of supporters here. Earlier today, you were scheduled to debate Bruce McPherson, the appointed Republican incumbent Secretary of State, at the San Francisco Chronicle. Did he show up?
Yes, we had a lively debate for an hour, and people can watch it. There'll be a link on my website. I don't have the site handy, but it will be available for anyone to see, and it was quite interesting.
Oh, great. You can also go to sfgate.com, which is the Chronicle website, and cbs5.com is hosting the webcast of those debate tapes. And was there substantive exchange? What did you get out of it?
Well, you know, much of the discussion was focused on electronic voting machines and whether they're secure and accurate and whether or not we ought to be using them. I called him on the process for recertifying the Diebold machines, which, as people remember, was determined that the memory card had never been tested. It was sent back. McPherson promised that he would not take action until the results of that additional testing were available. And then on the Friday before President's Day weekend, he announced that he was recertifying the machine with equipment, with conditions based on a study that nobody knew was happening at UC Berkeley.
Right.
Well, one of the things that has come to my attention recently is that the reviewers at UC Berkeley never had a physical machine. They were looking at code. So they didn't know, for example, that you can open the case of a Diebold machine with a hotel minibar key.
Yeah. That's choice. I mean, garage door openers won't do it, but a minibar key.
Just key pretty much anything. And, you know, he said, well, that was a different model of Diebold machine. So that's, you know. And the answer, of course, is, you know, then why, if you think it's all better now, wouldn't you require Diebold to submit the current machine for public review by any citizen who doesn't trust what's going on?
We invited Secretary McPherson to join us on the program today and got no response. Do you get the sense, Senator Bowen, that he cares about these issues and understands the risk to the integrity of our system, or is he just spinning and defending?
Well, I asked him a direct question. We had the ability to ask each other a question, and I asked him whether he personally believed that there were any serious security or accuracy concerns with any of the electronic voting systems that he has certified, and he didn't answer the question.
Oh, okay.
He gave a 2.5-minute answer, but it didn't answer the question.
Understood. I've seen that kind of filibuster before. One of the grave concerns that people have, and there's certainly many about these machines, but it's the source code that is used and that is controlled by these corporate vendors who sell the machines to voting jurisdictions. If you're elected Secretary of State, how will you address the source code issue?
Well, that was an issue in the discussion, too, and I made it clear that all of the computer, anything that we use having to do with elections, needs to be transparent, and that includes the source code. And I also advocated, as I have, for a move to open source software. You know, some of this really you have to understand a lot about it, but that would free us up from having the vendors, the vote of the secret software, basically have a lock on counties because they'd have to throw out their whole system if they wanted to change anything. So there are lots of reasons to go to open source software.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to tell you that. You know that.
And Dave Berman,
it's probably the most important place in the public, in the whole sphere, where we ought to go to publicly owned software.
Understood. Dave Berman of the Humboldt County Voter Confidence Committee wants to add a question in that vein. Dave?
Yeah, hi, Senator Bowen. I'm very familiar with that Berkeley report that you mentioned that Secretary McPherson commissioned and used seemingly as the reason to go ahead with the certification of Diebold, even though it explained how Hursti's attack, you know, could be replicated, right,
mm-hmm.
and they found 16 other bugs. The question I want to ask you is an additional thing that they had in that report, which confirmed something I had written about a couple of months prior, which is that the presence of interpreter code is basically putting the machines out of compliance with both federal and state regulations. And I haven't been aware of your efforts to necessarily challenge the Secretary on that particular point or your pledge to address that should you become the Secretary of State yourself.
Actually, I agree. It's one of the things that I've raised with the Secretary of State repeatedly, and I actually talked about it today in an interview with NBC afterwards. You know, interpreter code, I said to people, look, it's pretty technical, but here's what you need to know. The computer code is rewriting itself as it goes along, so there's absolutely no way to know what it's doing. That's why it's prohibited. The Diebold machine runs it. Mm. End of story.
Right.
Or it should be. Well, it was obviously the machines were certified anyway, but I totally agree with you, Dave. And thank you. You have been a stalwart. You've done an awesome job. You have educated so many people. Thank you.
Let's see if we can squeeze in a question from Ski in Carmel. Ski, you're on the air with Senator Bowen.
Hello?
Hi, Ski.
I can hardly hear you.
I'm sorry about that. Please be brief. We only have a second here.
Okay, I'm calling because I have first, we need less wherefores and whereases. But I'm calling and wondering why we can't start voting on the East Coast through all of the states to Hawaii, and I guess including Puerto Rico, but starting at the same time at midnight for 24 hours.
Okay, Ski, I'm sorry, our time is limited here. I appreciate the question. I think it's a good suggestion, and a voter holiday is a great idea, too. Senator Bowen, best wishes to you on November 7th, and thank you for your hard work on these issues.
Thank you, Peter. Carry on.
We shall. We'll continue in a moment live on the...
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. U.S. military helicopters hovered over the scenes of explosions and fires in Baghdad, the ugly finale of a day that saw 11 more American troops killed. This could turn out to be the deadliest month for U.S. forces in Iraq since the siege of Fallujah nearly 2 years ago. From the Pentagon, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports some Marine reservists who've already served in Iraq might have to return.
With U.S. troop levels stuck at 140,000 and no end in sight, the Marines have decided they will have to activate 600-man reserve combat battalions and send them back for a second tour in Iraq. It will be the first time a reserve combat unit has had to go back a second time, and it's one more sign of the stress the military is under in fighting a war which the Commandant of the Marine Corps told CBS News today he never bargained for.
Four American soldiers will be court-martialed in connection with a terrible crime against Iraqi civilians. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula has the background.
It was mid-March in Makmudiya, Iraq, when the four soldiers allegedly left a traffic checkpoint, changed clothes, and went to a nearby house where they raped and killed a 14-year-old girl, along with her parents and a younger sister. Some believe the incident led to the kidnapping and murders of two troops from the same 101st Airborne Unit a month later.
Four other soldiers are charged in a separate incident with murdering three Iraqi detainees during a raid. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus was at the New York Stock Exchange for an exciting moment this morning when the Dow briefly topped 12,000.
A lot of the traders I spoke to here on the floor say, yeah, you know, 12,000, breaking 12,000. That's all well and good, but the Dow only comprises 30 stocks that trade here. A larger look at the market is if you look at something like the NASDAQ and the S&P. Neither one is near a record high. They'd like to see both the S&P and NASDAQ along for the ride.
The Dow ended the session at a new high, 11,992, while the NASDAQ finished 7 points lower, and the S&P's 500 had a small gain of less than 2 points. Health officials have been saying there's enough flu vaccine to go around this season, but CBS News correspondent Dan Revive reports it's not necessarily getting around to everyone who needs it.
This is the time to get your flu shot earlier than usual, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention saying while there will be more doses than ever provided by vaccine makers, 115 million doses, up from 81 million last year, some distribution problems could mean shortages in some places.
An elderly Florida man nearly met the same fate as crocodile hunter Steve Irwin. Authorities say 81-year-old James Bertakis was in a small boat with two grandchildren off Lighthouse Point, about 30 miles north of Miami, when a stingray leaped out of the water and its poisonous stinger lodged in his chest, close to his heart. Bertakis is expected to make a full recovery. This is CBS News.
Please don't make me decorate this weekend.
Fine. No decorating this weekend.
Really?
Sure. Monday will be just fine.
Oh, man. I knew it.
It's the October Savings Event at Sherwin-Williams. This Thursday through Monday, save 25% on paints and stains and 15% on Duration Premium Coatings. Save an extra 10% on custom order wallpaper and get free shipping, too. Hurry. Sale ends Monday, October 23rd.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
We were looking for a home.
CaldwellBanker.com made it so easy. You just type in the zip code.
Or the location.
We saw some terrific Coldwell Banker homes.
I clicked on more listings.
And saw homes from other realtors, too.
It's a great time to be in the market.
Every day across the country, people find the home of their dreams at the same address. CaldwellBanker.com. Coldwell Banker, your perfect partner. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Despite all the advances in science, CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports there's still no way to turn back time.
It appears another miracle youth pill can be flushed down the drain. Scientists in Italy and at the Mayo Clinic find no evidence that the popular anti-aging supplement DHEA changes an elderly person's physique, physical performance, or quality of life.
Not only is there no solid evidence that it's beneficial, in my opinion.
Dr. Elizabeth Barrett Connor, a DHEA researcher at the University of California, San Diego.
These products are not tested by anybody to see what's in the capsule.
This small two-year New England Journal of Medicine study warns that testosterone supplements are no fountain of youth either. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
It wasn't some thief stealing away in the night. Whoever took a bronze statue of a nude woman from an Orlando art gallery did it in broad daylight while visitors were milling around the exhibits. It couldn't have been easy. The thing weighs 50 pounds. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
And now, another yellow tail.
Recently, while planning an engagement bash for my best friend, I asked my husband Frank to get enough yellow tail for 30. Wouldn't you know it, he ordered yellow tail sushi. Sushi! Fortunately, there was still time to get yellow tail wine, so I didn't have to toast my best friend with raw fish.
Yellow tail fact number 12. Yellow tail wine is named for the yellow-footed rock wallaby, a small kangaroo, not sushi. Imported by W.J. Deutsch & Sons, White Plains, New York. Please drink responsibly.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, in an auditorium in Blue Lake, California, listeners of the Peter B. Collins Show have gathered for our Election Integrity Special. Coming up in a moment, we're going to go to the state where I was born, the place I escaped because of the humidity and the Republican machine, the great state of Ohio. We're going to talk to Bob Petraeus. But first, we have an exclusive special presentation of the Humboldt County Raging Grannies. Will you welcome Carol Pridgen and Martha Devine?
Thank you.
Ladies, this is not a rehearsal. This one is real.
Okay, you start.
Go ahead.
Yankee Doodle went to war and told us we would buy it. We say no, never more, and we'll pay for peace and cry out, Yankee Doodle, cut the crap, Yankee Doodle dandy. Stop your wars, let's have some peace and join the world as family. Yankee Doodle bombed Iraq and called it liberation. We all know what's wrong with that, it's really occupation. Yankee Doodle, cut the crap, Yankee Doodle dandy. Stop your wars, let's have some peace and join the world as family.
Thank you.
Martha Devine from Arcata and Carol Pridgen from right here in Blue Lake. Thank you very much, the Raging Grannies. Some live entertainment here on the PBC show this afternoon. And joining us now from Columbus, Ohio, is Bob Petraeus. He's a man of many talents. He is the co-founder of FreePress.org. He is one of the people, along with his pal Harvey Wasserman, who's been fighting to get the truth about the 2004 Ohio heist. And he is the Green Party candidate for governor of Ohio this year, which will give him a basis to demand a recount if necessary. Bob Petraeus, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, glad to be on.
We got a great crowd of people here. They're all fired up about election issues. And give us a quick snapshot of what's underway in Ohio right now. Ken Blackwell, who many people know as the Catherine Harris of Ohio, he's a candidate for governor, and he's 20 points down in the polls against Congressman Ted Strickland. And I understand this week, a desperation move, Blackwell has tried to disqualify Ted Strickland because they're claiming he's not a resident of Ohio.
Well, they're claiming he's not. He is not living at the address that he registered at, and hence maybe he's a resident of Washington, D.C. That is bizarre.
That's what Tom DeLay tried to do to wriggle out of his election, right? He said, oh, I've left Texas.
Yeah.
And Texas said, we're not buying it. The flip side of it is Ted Strickland lives in Ohio, and the Republicans are trying to claim that he doesn't.
Yeah, and of course, since Blackwell didn't have the decency to step aside when he was running for governor, we'll go to one of his key aides. See how long he's talked about the bipartisan nature of these boards of elections. But when push comes to shove, Ken Blackwell is the deciding vote. Every single person on these boards were appointed by him and serve at his pleasure. But, it would be outrageous if he threw off Ted Strickland and as a placeholder there, I would meet immediately with him and see if we could work out some kind of deal to make sure that the majority of people in Ohio, Democrats, would not be cheated out of the rightful governor of the state.
Now, they haven't tried to throw you off the ballot.
they delayed a long time in letting me on the ballot. No, they haven't done much other than to tell me if the Free Press, since I was of counsel in the lawsuit against Ken Blackwell, suing him over civil rights violation from the 2004 election, and trying to get the ID requirement, which they're really using to try to steal this election off the ballot. They've said if the Free Press contacts any of the Board of Elections or Ken Blackwell, they're going to attempt to sanction me again. You recall they did this in 2004 as well.
Right.
They attempted to sanction me and fine me, but they usually back down because they realize I'll get to present evidence, which will show the mass theft that occurred in Ohio. The big news, though, on Daily Cause, which I've been warning people about,
this is the purge letter, eh?
Yeah, they're purging the voting rolls in Ohio, and this is what they did between 2000 and 2004 as well.
Now, take a moment to describe this letter that has gone out to over 100,000 people in Ohio who believe that they are fully registered voters.
Well, this is, put forward by the Democratic, the Republican Party. And Greg Palast was able to show that they did this as well in 2004 in Ohio and other areas where they actually legally challenged black and Latino voters who were in combat in Iraq. And if you don't respond to this challenge letter, they simply purge you from the rolls. In fact, Harvey...
Bob.
Yes.
I'm familiar with the way things work on the Internet, where you can opt in or opt out. So is this a letter that essentially says that if you don't respond, you are opting out?
Yes, that if you don't show up and show proof that you are, you live where you say you live, then they have this May provision, which was under HAVA, that they may in fact purge you. This isn't moving you to inactive status. This is purging you from the voter rolls.
Wow. And are people reading the whole letter, or does it come across as junk mail and they just toss it and then they're going to show up on November 7th?
Let me put it to you this way. Say you live in the inner city and suddenly you get something that has a Board of Election or the Republican Party return stamp on it. How likely are you to respond to it? in many cases in the heavily Democratic wards, it goes right into the trash.
Wow. So are you trying to get the word out and alert Ohio voters that they should pay attention to their mail and not let this trick be played on them?
Well, we had a conference this weekend where we suspected this would be one of many, many dirty tricks that were coming down. We've had people that have been looking at the registration list. And now what we're going to do, maybe I think we'll probably take some preemptive action. Unlike the Democratic Party, my notion is to sue Blackwell for violating people's constitutional rights and violating the process. And that's what I intend to do.
Dave Berman is here with us, and he has a comment. Dave?
Yeah, Bob, I like the idea of suing, but I wonder about citizens' arrests.
Well, you're right. The problem is getting close enough to him. He's holed up in the Borden building, a private building. He's moved his office in there, and there's private security everywhere. Whenever I'm around the building, they threaten me with arrest, call the cops on me. It's hard to even he wouldn't allow me to have a press conference there. But I think it's a good tactic. I've long advocated that, you know, Ken Blackwell be put in a jail cell. And I think not only for what he did in 2004, but what he's doing today, disenfranchising black voters. Some of you may know, but Larry Pratt, who was kicked out of the Buchanan campaign for being a white supremacist, the man responsible for the militia movement in America, who has spoken with KKK members and neo-Nazis in Aryan Nation, spent a whole day campaigning with Ken Blackwell just last week.
Just amazing. We're talking with Bob Petraeus in Columbus, Ohio, live here on the Peter B. Collins Show and in our studio audience here in Blue Lake, California. A dangerous gentleman is holding a copy of Hugo Chavez's favorite book, the latest from Noam Chomsky. Tell us your name, sir.
My name is John Coriagin.
John, welcome. What's your comment?
Hey, thanks. How's your ISDN line working?
It's working.
Great.
It's all your fault.
I know. It's, I was one of the people pulling my hair out to try and figure out how to get you live in here.
Well, thanks. You did it, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. So I have a question. Now, in other countries, say, for instance, in Ukraine, when the U.S. backs an investigation of vote fraud in order to get their guy into power, you know, another to legitimately get them into power because they're backed by the majority of the population, there's usually a two-pronged strategy. And the first strategy is to make sure that there's some sort of media in the country that covers the abuses of the government, especially electoral abuses. And then the second part of the strategy is to make sure that the media is used to get people out into the streets and to protest when vote fraud occurs in an election. So my question is are there any protests planned for this upcoming election? Anybody planning on being out in the streets?
Bob, what do you know?
Well, we've been gathering a variety of people from videographers and five independent candidates that are running statewide, from the Libertarian Party to the Green Party, and three others are actually requesting that we be in all polling locations, not only the local polling locations, but in the boards of elections. And there are, in fact, networks of people that have been put together. If it begins to happen this year, in fact, we've actually put out a call to seize the poll. I think what has to happen is if anything begins to appear to be a stolen election on election night, the people really need to go to the boards of election and stay there and sit in until we can get an honest election in Ohio.
Well, yeah. Somebody needs to be there to keep John Bolton company. We're going to take a break and return in just a moment. Bob Petraeus is with us from Columbus, Ohio. Listeners out there in Radio Land, if you'd like to call in, lines are open for you. We're talking about election integrity issues today. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. That's 1-888-573-8372. Toll-free puts you right through here to the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Blue Lake, California.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Good afternoon. Let's get you home safely this evening. Let's tell you a little about Twin Lakes 6th Avenue at Eaton. It crashed, right shoulder, three vehicles involved, and it's been there for about a good hour now. Monterey northbound Highway 1 right at Fremont Street, two separate minor injury crashes. And I got to mention that apparently this is blocking the left lane. Traffic is squeezing by, however, in the right lane. And as a result of this, of course, you can expect delays. So we're also going to let you know about Salinas Blanco Road at Davis. Heads up for some sort of rather large box in the middle of the intersection. And folks are swerving to get around the area at this point. And right now we're going to let you know that Highway 17 looking pretty good at this point. No major stalls or accidents. And this report is brought to you by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and help a voice guide you on your way. Visit more. Learn TomTom.com.
It's 22 minutes past the hour. I'm Peter B. Collins, and we're live from Blue Lake at the Del Arte Performing Arts School. And we're talking with Bob Fitrakis in Columbus, Ohio, as part of our election integrity special. And a gentleman here in the audience has more information than I did about the purge letters that were sent out. What's your name, sir?
My name's Roger Smith. I live in McKinleyville, which is just a little ways down the road. Anyhow, on Tom Hartman's show this morning, we were informed that this letter was sent out to like 1.2 million folks, and it was a targeted letter. As a test letter, so it didn't have to get sent to everybody, and it was targeted toward university campuses, it was targeted toward apartment-style folk, and it appears that it was not sent to anybody who was registered as a Republican, And it had a 60-day, you need to respond kind of number. And one fellow even called in and said he got his letter tucked into a local advertising supplement and that folks could show up for the primary and were allowed to vote. And the purge took place after the primary election. So if folks thought they were fine, they vote in the primary, then they show up at the general, they're going to be told they can fill out a provisional ballot. Of course, the provisional ballot won't have them registered, so it won't be counted. They're going to think they voted, and here we have 1.2 million registered Democrats removed from the rolls in Ohio.
And Bob, can you confirm those details that Roger just offered?
Exactly like what Harvey and I warned the Democrats and what happened in the 2004 election. Remember, in 2004, they purged 308,000 voters. They purged 24.93% of all the voters in the city of Cleveland. They moved 105,000 people into inactive status in the Cincinnati area, primarily black voters. And at the last second, they moved 28,000 voters on August 26 in Toledo, Ohio, one of the Democratic strongholds. And these were people that had voted in the primary. And in one case, a couple that had voted at the same address since 1960s. These are selective sneak purges. And at the same time, they're using this HAVA provision. What we're finding in the rural counties of Ohio, they're not doing any of these purges. So quite literally, and we've warned people about this repeatedly, and we've warned the Democratic Party, who has often attacked us and said we were conspiracy theorists, because we had literally hundreds and hundreds of people who swore out affidavits that they had voted in the primary, had called their board of election, showed up to vote in November 2nd, 2004, and weren't on the voting rolls. Compounded upon this is the electronic voting polls that many of these counties are using, including Cuyahoga County, where between 8 and 10,000 registered voters were thrown off by the Diebold DIM system over a so-called electronic glitch. This is what they're doing. This is gaming the system. This comes right out of the third world. This comes right out of the CIA handbook. That's what Kevin Phillips, the Republican operative, warned us about in American Dynasty.
Right.
They are quite literally suppressing the vote. On top of it, now ID is required in Ohio, and there's 1.5 million people without voter ID. And these electronic systems that they're using with the poll books in many cases that'll add to this problem as well. Say I'm Robert Fitrakis, but my driver's license says Robert J. Fitrakis.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these counties will say that that's not a match.
Yeah. This is stunning. And maybe that's the reason they've pulled the Republican money out of the DeWine race. They don't need to bother. They've already figured out what the outcome will be. Jessica in Phoenix, thank you for joining us. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Bob Fitrakis.
Hi. I was calling because of the caller that called a few minutes ago from Phoenix that said, where's the proof?
Yeah.
I don't know that I necessarily have proof, but in the 2004 election, I had requested the ballot in the mail because I knew I didn't want to stand in line. And I voted and I turned it in on time, and I got a letter a couple months later saying they didn't count my vote because my signature from when I registered 13 years earlier didn't match.
Wow.
Well, obviously they got the right address because I got the ballot. But then when I went to vote just now in the primary, they wouldn't let me vote because I had requested a ballot by mail and never gotten it. So I don't know if you call it proof, but they didn't count my vote twice. So
yeah, it's all kinds of gaming. The system is being gamed, and the people who are in charge of it are using every available means. Dave, do you have a comment?
Well, yeah. I think that it's kind of ridiculous to accept this frame of proof. There is no proof. There is not the possibility of proof. And flip it around. There is no proof that an actual election took place. There's no proof that votes were counted or counted correctly. This is our frame. There's no basis for confidence in the results reported with elections held under these conditions. We can already reject the outcome because we know that the conditions are not for a genuine election.
Bob, do you have a comment for Jessica?
Well, yeah, there's tons of proof. None of it is refuted. In fact, what happened in Ohio, I went through 20,000 public documents, you know, and I've got every single provisional vote that wasn't counted in Franklin County, and we know exactly who these voters were. 356 people who were registered to vote showed up at the precinct, for example, in Columbus, and the poll worker made a mistake and gave them a provisional ballot. J. Kenneth Blackwell refused to count the ballot because he said they should have voted on a machine and not provisionally. It wasn't their mistake. It was a poll worker's mistake.
Yeah.
95.12% of all rejected provisionals were in the city of Cincinnati in Hamilton County, where only 32% of the voters were. 40% of the rejected ballots were in four African-American wards in the Toledo area. These people are engaging in high-tech Jim Crow and old-fashioned thuggery.
Thank you very much, Bob, and good luck to you on November 7th. At least a clean election, if not victory, for the Green Party candidate for governor in Ohio.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for the call, Jessica. More in a moment here live on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's our Election Integrity Special.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
Are you worried about lead and other toxins in our environment and the negative effects they can have on your family? I'm Nurse Rona. Join my guests, Sharon Green and Dr. Asa Bradman, to learn about ways to prevent and respond to children's exposure to toxins.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Show working to rock the nation and try to get our election system back on track. This is the final half hour of our election integrity special, live from Blue Lake, California. With a whole crowd of informed and concerned Americans here, I'm delighted that you came out today. I really appreciate it. Dave Berman from the Voter Confidence Committee continues with us here. And Brad Friedman is back with us. Brad, of course, the proprietor of bradblog.com. I hope. How many people here haven't been to Bradblog? Just a couple of people without internet access, that's my guess. No? Well, that's your homework assignment. Okay, watch Keith Olbermann and then go to bradblog.com. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
We're doing fine. It's been a great program, a lot of good contributions here from various folks. And
yeah, I've been listening. I've never been more depressed in my life. Thanks for nothing.
Well, we got a whole cargo ship of Zoloft that we'll have delivered to you in time for the election.
All right, I'm coming up there this Friday to pick it up from you.
Okay. Now, Brad, I wanted you to tell our listeners about the Reverend DeForest Soares, what he used to do, and the remarkable comments that he made that were posted yesterday at Bradblog.
Well, yesterday I posted an unaired network interview, transcript from it, from DeForest Soares. He was the first appointee, Bush appointee, mind you, to the U.S. Elections Assistance Commission. That commission was set up by the Help America Vote Act. So you can already guess that the commission is completely and utterly useless. They are supposed to oversee the rollout of all of these electronic voting machines. They're doing virtually nothing in that regard. Nobody's home, and Reverend Soares had the courage to come out and say so. In fact, he quit the commission, the EAC, and said he would rather spend time watching his son's basketball games because, in fact, nobody in Washington was actually interested in election reform. He says in the interview that he was deceived by the White House and Congress, that there are no standards for our election machines, and that the system is ripe for stolen elections.
Now, let me just get this straight, because there was a book out by this guy, Quo. Reverend Soares had nothing to do with the faith-based initiative office. He got hosed in the electoral part of it.
Well, that's right.
Right.
And, in fact, there is a relation, because that's exactly what I'm sure Dave Berman will tell you up there, is that what we now have in our country is faith-based elections. We simply have to have faith that the whatever they tell us is right, is true, is accurate, when in fact we know that it is not. And he tried to do something about it. He was actually interested in election reform. That's why he agreed to take the job. And when he found out he spent the first 3 or 4 months, I believe, by himself walking around the streets of D.C. trying to find office space for the federal commission that is to oversee all elections in America, he realized something's up here. And eventually he said, enough of this nonsense. They're not serious about it.
But why didn't they show him to the office? Why didn't they show him to the office suites of the Senate and House Ethics Committees? Because those haven't been used in years.
You're right. Well, what they did instead, after he left, was installed a guy by the name of Paul G. Gregorio, who is apparently one of these insider cronies. Apparently, when the Bush administration accidentally appoints someone to the job who's actually going to do the job, they quit. So they go back to the folks like the guy they have now, D. Gregorio, who is an insider who is working with this insidious group of Republican operatives, Bush-Cheney operatives, by the name of American Center for Voting Rights.
Oh, yeah.
And as I reported a few days ago, The EAC commissioned a report on voter fraud, which is different than election fraud, and they found out that, oh, what do you know? There isn't a problem with voter fraud in America. There's almost none of it, and that is the difference being, you know, dead people voting, double voting, et cetera, et cetera, that the real problem is with absentee ballots, and with these voting machines that don't work. And when they got that report, what did they do? They sat on that report for 4 months, and USA Today had to be the one to release it. It's an absolute scandal, and you've got people in Washington not only not doing anything about election reform, but actively going out of their way to keep any reform from happening. I've also got, if you have a second, I've got a bit of breaking news here.
Go right ahead.
The New York Times is going to front page tomorrow. This comes actually from the Drudge Report, that election officials are preparing for chaos on Election Day because of new machines, lines, and confusion. This is going to be on the front page of New York Times tomorrow, just in time to do nothing about it. And I am shocked. Simply shocked, and I wish I had said or done something about this earlier.
Well, and you know, I'm riffing off a comment you made earlier, Brad, about the sleepovers of these machines. Some of them are already resting comfortably in the private homes of precinct workers, and I think we should have a contest for the best dressed sleepover voting machine. And we could go from extremes to the, you know, nice flannel nightgown popular in New England in the wintertime, maybe a little something racy on the Victoria's Secret side, and just see, you know, if we could have a national competition for the best sleepover costume for a voting machine this fall.
Yeah, and here's another thought. If you got those sleepovers, you're a poll worker, you have one at home, have a party. Have a slumber party for your Diebold voting machine. And please take some great videos. Let everyone in America see just how secure those voting systems are when they go home and are dressed up in pajamas. And by the way, don't count on me to help you. I want everyone out there. You can go to blogger.com. You can get your own blog. You can go to Democratic Underground. When you get these photographs, when you get these videos, you can post them on YouTube. Get the word out. This is going to take all of us to start making noise.
Yeah. Joining us on the phone now from the American Enterprise Institute is John Fortier. He is a research fellow there. John, thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to ask you, we kind of invited you on the program as a representative of the non-left, non-Democrat, non-progressive side of things, and I hope you don't mind being pigeonholed that way. But I wanted to know from your perspective, are there concerns at the American Enterprise Institute and among your colleagues about the election coming up in November? And do you think that we're going to see chaos, as the New York Times apparently will describe it tomorrow?
Sure, we have some concerns. I mean, the American Enterprise Institute and the Brookings Institution have a project looking at election reform. We are trying to be across the spectrum on this, and I think we do have some significant concerns, some of them Brad outlined. There's a famous prayer among election administrators that, oh, Lord, let the margins be wide. And in the cases where we have wide margins in elections, we won't face these problems. But if we come down to very close elections in key states, and really, there's a lot of turmoil, not only with the introduction of the electronic voting machines, but also retrofitting them to add paper trails to them, which are at this point imperfect themselves, and really a lot of confusion as to what ballots we would actually count in a very close election. I'm thinking in particular of Ohio, but a number of other states have these questions as well. So, as a long-run prospect, we might be able to work these things out over several election cycles, but we are in the middle of great change, and I think that's likely to cause problems if we have close elections.
And would you...
Can I jump in? And,
I just wanted
to make a note to myself here. When hacking machine, make sure that vote totals won't be close. Okay. That will keep people from having to look at... that's the problem. These machines, you can hack them. We've now seen it's confirmed in any way that you want. And so this notion that we will only come in when there is a close election, who the hell knows what a close election is anymore? That's the problem.
John, do you have a reaction?
Well, I mean, I guess I do see the problem with hacking of the machines, but I see, you know, all sorts of other problems with the electronic voting machines and frankly with, you know, some of our systems that are partly in place or partly installed and new people using new technologies. Not only the fraud, but just administrative errors which can result from these. I'll give you an example in Ohio. Ohio has now gone to a paper trail on its electronic voting machines, but a recent study of Cuyahoga County around Cleveland found that the paper that's printed out doesn't agree with the machines. And it's not, at least in this case, it wasn't probably because somebody hacked it, but because of problems with the computer program or problems sometimes the way people put the paper in, leaving blank rolls. And at the end of the day, Ohio has now said, well, the paper is the final ballot, which is great, except in some cases you can't find the paper and there are votes in the machine, you can't get them out, and you've only got the paper in certain cases, and ultimately we haven't been through this process. It's a new law, it's a new set of systems, and if we come down to a recount, there's, you know, Katie bar the door, like 2000, where the lawyers from both sides are going to, you know, make some reasonable arguments as to on opposing sides as to what should happen. And
well, and the fact of the matter is, these machines, you know, they were supposed to be mission critical machines. In other words, we knew that they were going to be going out to elections where, you know, they were run by citizen patriots who stood up to be poll workers. A lot of them are, you know, elderly retired folks, and these things were designed so poorly that you have to have a rocket scientist on call 24/7 to make sure that they work. This notion that we should blame the poll workers for human failure really bothers me, because the elections officials and the voting machine companies like to say that. But the fact of the matter is, you know, if you design a car, let's say a Ford Pinto, that blows up when it gets hit from behind in the course of its expected operation, you don't blame the driver. And blaming the poll worker for the fact that they can't even get these machines to work. Look, you had Avi Rubin, Johns Hopkins computer scientist, working the Maryland primary election, and he couldn't even get the computers to work. We've got to stop blaming the poll workers for the fact that the voting machine companies make crappy machines and the elections officials bought them in the first place, and they never should have.
John, a response?
Yeah, I don't essentially disagree with that. I do think that we, look, as a long-term prospect, the idea of electronic voting machines is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just that we have not implemented them well. The machines aren't where they need to be. The audit trails are even further behind, whether it's paper or something else. It's just being retrofitted to some of these machines. So I do think we have some problems. Look, just to say one good word about electronic voting machines, and one of the reasons why people thought they were a good thing after the 2000 election, and that is we lost a lot of votes in the 2000 election, probably about 4 million votes to either overvotes, people who filled out their ballots and marked a couple mm-hmm. people, or they did, their ballots weren't registered. Somehow they didn't punch enough. Now, these machines are very good at helping voters not make those kind of mistakes, and that's a significant number of votes. The problem is, you know, we haven't made them secure enough, and we don't have an audit trail yet that we can feel comfortable to even check the machines very thoroughly to see if there was fraud, or even if just there was a some sort of glitch and problem that didn't register enough votes. So
happened in 2000, and that was when a Diebold optical scan machine started counting backwards in Volusia County and registered negative 16,000 votes for Al Gore.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got us into this mess. We had ballots. We had paper. They could have been counted. Yes, our elections are imperfect, and sure, there were problems with those ballots, but the problems, you know, was not with the ballots themselves or the people who voted. The problem was the fact that Bush-Cheney went to the Supreme Court and demanded nobody count those ballots. If we have a paper ballot and we actually count it,
even
I think
Chaz,
we'll be just
yes.
fine.
Yeah.
Well, look, I don't want to disagree about the very specifics here, but just at the studies that looked at the election nationwide afterwards, where essentially we had not looked at our elections at all. We'd let a lot of problems fester for many years.
Mm-hmm.
These were ballots across the nation, you know, 4 million ballots, where there was, in many cases, very bad ballot design or very bad systems like the punch cards, which had much higher error rates than other types of technologies. And so the electronic voting machines, at least in theory, and I agree with you completely about the practice here, it's not very good, but in theory, are very good at helping people have their votes actually registered. If
you all really right, John, I'm out of time here, but I want to thank you for joining us. I don't quite agree with your theory there because it's clear these machines are not ready for prime time, and because of their vulnerabilities, may never be ready for prime time, and prime time is 20 days away. That's John Fortier from the American Enterprise Institute. Thanks for joining us. Brad Friedman, stay with us. We'll return after a break right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now,
you're listening to KRXA 540.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Stop searching. We've got what you're looking for. Sundays, 3 to 5, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and native healer Cloud Pilar for an hour of Native Health Radio and discover how sacred medicine can save modern life. Honest, direct, funny, informative, it's programming that makes you think. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on KRXA 540 AM.
And good evening. Let's take a look at traffic and get you home safely this evening. We're going to start off with a situation in Salinas, Blanco Road at Davis. We have a rather large box in the middle of the intersection. Also, Salinas Highway 68 at River Road, the left turn lane is blocked. The reason we have a stalled vehicle there, heads up in that particular situation. Gilroy, southbound 101 before Maston, we apparently vehicles are swerving to avoid, get ready for this, an ice chest in the second lane from the left. And in San Ardo, southbound 101 at Paris Valley, another stall car apparently blocking the left lane as well. And support brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai, but more features, more quality, more car for your money, all backed by America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. I'm Mike McDowell with traffic on KRXA AM 540.
Away from the hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live from Blue Lake, California with a great audience here. I mean, these people dig the Peter B. Collins Show so much that they have a horse named Trigger saddled up outside. And in a couple of minutes, I'm going to hop on and ride off into the sunset. A couple of things I want to mention. Pat Higgins is here, and he has worked hard on the website openvoting.org. He told me about it, and give us a quick 30-second. What can people find there, Pat?
Well, they'll find the solution, and that is open-source software, and it's computer experts on security and on software programming. But also, the problems page on openvoting.org has everything from the Conyers Report to Avery Rubin's work to David Dill's work. If they're telling you, get over it, don't get over it. learn what's going on. And you can, it's a one-stop shop. So go to openvoting.org and go to the problems page, and then there's little clickable links, and you can go into all of those documents until you're convinced, and then go convince somebody else, because we've got to take it back.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Very well said. Brad Friedman continues with us on the telephone, and Dave Berman is here live with us in Blue Lake with the Voter Confidence Committee here in Humboldt. And, Dave, tell us a little bit about, you have some materials outside for our audience members here today and other activists who want to get involved and monitor the elections coming up on November 7th. What tactics or techniques are you recommending?
Well, for the past couple of elections, the Voter Confidence Committee has staked out the position that we do not accept the results. And we took this position prior to the election based on the conditions that would be in place to hold the election. When the votes are counted in secret, there's just no basis for confidence and no reason to accept the outcome. And so more recently, the last election in June, we kind of took this another step and we challenged the media not to report what cannot be proven. We said the votes are unverifiable to us. They are also unverifiable to the media. And it would be in the interest of the media to join our call for hand-counting the ballots, because if we are able to hand-count the ballots, the media can document the process, and that becomes the basis of the credibility for their reporting of results, which they don't currently have.
Very interesting. Brad, what's your comment about that?
But he's absolutely right. And, you know, the question is now, what are Americans willing to do about it? Are they willing to make noise? Are they willing to hit the streets? Are they willing to call for transparency? If I could, though, just because I know we're coming up to the end of the show here, and I had beat up on the New York Times before the break for coming out with this article on, you know, election chaos when folks like you and me and others, but not enough, have been trying to point this out now for months and even years. And, I just want to thank you, Peter, because you have been on this from the beginning. One of the very few voices in the media who has been paying attention to this, you know, having me on week after week to talk about these issues, going up there and doing a three-hour special, you know, it is extraordinary. If we had another dozen or two or more folks like you in the media, we might have saved this country by now. So thank you for everything that you're doing today.
Well, thank you for that, Brad. I wish I could do more.
I think we all do. And when I was joking before about having listened to your show and being incredibly depressed, it was only a half joke, because it's quite frustrating. People say, well, what can we do? How do we save this November's election? I don't know that we can. But I will tell you this, if all of the news you're hearing today has depressed you, the answer is not to stay home. The answer is to go out there to vote and to make it as hard as hell for these bastards to steal your elections.
Amen.
So you have to get out there and vote. If you roll over and do nothing, I promise you the bad guys definitely will win.
Dave Berman?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for all the time that I've been, you know, working on the voter confidence resolution and trying to get people to understand empirically, this is something that Paul Leto, who was on the show earlier, has kind of encouraged me very strongly to go forward with. He wrote the foreword to my book where he says that the no basis for confidence frame has scientific validity behind it, because there is no way for them to prove that the results are accurate when it's counted in secret. So in all the time that I've been taking this position, there's been concern that I've heard from people, well, aren't you discouraging people from voting? Well, no, actually, I would never do that. So please do go out and vote, but understand what we're getting into, and don't kid yourself that it's something else.
Yeah, and don't expect results on election night. I think this is going to be a long one, and Paul Leto commented in an email that was circulated that you might still be waiting for votes to be counted on Thanksgiving. So be prepared for that. Brad, any final comments in terms of this November's election and then going forward, what we need to be focused on?
Yeah, people need to understand this election is not going to be over on election night, I'm sorry to say. Now is a great time to call up your candidates, your favorite candidates, the candidates you don't like, I don't care, and ask them to take a no-concessions pledge that every vote is just too damn important to concede, and that they need to wait for every vote to be counted. Republican, Democrat, Green, Libertarian, Independent, I don't care.
This is what our democracy is built on, and it's about time we start counting the damn votes.
Brad Friedman. Thank you very much, Brad, and I will see you and talk to you again on Friday. Looking forward to that.
See you in person Friday.
All right, very good. And Dave Berman, thank you for organizing this. Thanks for inviting me. And thanks to all the people here who made this a great event today. Tom Seaborn, Mike Wilson at KGOE, and good old Ken Dennis, too, the whole gang there. I really appreciate it. And I want to thank our other affiliate stations for indulging us with this important live broadcast today. And I hope wherever you are, however you've been listening, that you benefited from it and understand now what the stakes are on November 7th and in elections in the future. We've got a lot of work to do. And what we've seen is that we can't rely on members of either political party of the majors to do this work without prodding. So we must remain attentive, vigilant, and aggressive. And with this crowd here, I'm pretty confident that that's all going to happen. Well, I see the triggers here. I'm going to saddle up and hit the road. Thanks for a warm welcome here in Blue Lake, California today.
Happy prayers to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together, we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540, KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Another ugly, bloody day in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick is there.
As night fell in Baghdad, there was a series of explosions, one setting off a huge fire. U.S. military helicopters circled above. The U.S. military also announced the deaths of 11 troops, 10 soldiers and one Marine, killed in and around Baghdad in roadside bombs and enemy attacks.
This could turn out to be the deadliest month for U.S. forces in nearly 2 years. From the Pentagon, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports a plan has been put in motion to redeploy some Marine Reserve battalions.
Sending hundreds of reservists back into combat starting in 2008 will take some of the strain off active duty Marines who currently serve 7 months tours in Iraq and are home for only 7 months. The Army, which provides the bulk of the troops in Iraq, is in a similar bind. Its units serve one-year tours and are home for only 14 months. It's a killing pace made necessary by the rising sectarian violence, which forced the commander in Iraq, General George Casey, to scrap plans for withdrawing any troops this year.
The military announced today that four soldiers will be court-martialed and two of them could face the death penalty for a shocking crime against Iraqi civilians.
The alleged incident happened in Mahmoudiya, Iraq in mid-March. The four soldiers allegedly left their checkpoint and went to a nearby home where they raped and murdered a 14-year-old girl before fatally shooting her parents and a younger sister. Military investigators say the soldiers tried to burn the bodies to get rid of evidence.
CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula. In a separate case, four other soldiers are charged with murdering three detainees during a raid in May on a village in northern Iraq. The closing bell ended an exciting day on Wall Street as the Dow briefly rose above 12,000. CBS News correspondent Trish Regan followed the action.
People who didn't get into the market a month ago are trying to get into the market now, and that's one of the things that is bidding up stock prices. In other words, people are trying to rush in and capture this momentum, and that's just basically increasing the momentum.
The Dow finished 42 points higher for a record close of 11,992. Things are changing at the Postal Service. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein explains.
Hey, when's the last time you dropped a letter into one of those blue boxes on the corner? Remember them?
Customers are using the blue collection boxes less and less, partly because